talked about.
Now, you ain't crazy. I know you ain't crazy. You ain't never in your life heard a disc jockey come through here like me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And cats, they're not usually known for their love of swimming, but one feline in Northern Virginia is hitting the water instead of the gym in an effort to lose weight. Holly is a 13-year-old cat who dislikes the outdoors and other physical activities, but with encouragement from her owner and weekly visits to the Old Town Pet Resort, Holly has managed to lose 1 pound in 6 weeks. Stay with us, everybody. We've got a lot more to come.
Man, this is off the rails.
And now, one team, one dream.
No.
Come on!
That's fantastic.
Our feature presentation.
This is where Bean talks.
Well, I thought this is where Kevin talked. Traditionally, that's how we do it.
Yeah.
Your feature presentation, then boom, dulcet tones of K-Train come on, and welcome to the show. What happened?
Well, usually.
Yeah. Well, you answered the phone around, yeah, what, 5:28?
Yeah, about.
What did he say, Chip?
He said, I'm going to be about 5:38. And that was it.
Click.
Could you live your life this way, Allie?
I feel like he just hit snooze one more time. Like he's
really?
Just one more
but
time.
But every day? But every day, year after year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it just... Oh, so look at that. A ghost just appeared.
Look at
Doesn't
him.
It just seem like... And I don't know, maybe... Hey, K-Rox Kevin.
Hey.
Maybe for me, the stress wouldn't be worth it. Like... The heart attack inducing looking at the clock every second, wondering if I'm going to make it, would just make my life unpleasant. But I guess you're wired differently where it's like, yeah, whatever.
Wait.
It's only other people.
You and me are wired differently?
Yes. I'm trying to figure out because I would think that you would arrive sweating and stressed every morning. But
he
you just stroll
in.
Oh,
yeah.
You stroll in like it's a beautiful sunny afternoon. You got nothing to do.
All right, here's the story. So yesterday I thought, okay, I'm late a lot now. This seems to go in cycles.
Right.
Where I'm late for a lot of days in a row, and then other days I'm on time forever, no one cares. And then all of a sudden I'm late all the time. So I thought last night, okay, I need to make sure that I get there on time today. I'm going to change my luck. I'm going to turn things around.
Oh, it's luck.
Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm going to change things around. So starting tomorrow, I'm going to start being there on time. So I got up a little bit early, took a shower a little bit early, got in my car a little bit early.
Wow.
Probably 5 minutes before.
Wow.
I normally
before
do.
Before usual. Okay.
Yeah.
Five minutes. That's quite a commitment.
Being baby steps.
Listen.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're cutting it down to about 15 seconds, five minutes is
right.
Forever.
So far, so good. You're
right.
In the car 5 minutes early. Okay, great.
I'm being responsible. This is going to happen. I'm going to get there on time.
You're clean.
Get in my car. And I am clean. Thank you for pointing it out.
Just wanted to.
I get in my car, back up, I go out, and I get on the freeway, and it is 100% stopped.
Oh.
I put my car in park on the freeway.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what could possibly be happening at this time of the morning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were doing research. They were doing construction, and the four right lanes were closed.
Yeah.
So everybody's squeezing through one lane.
Yeah.
Right.
So that ate up my whole 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
So it's not my fault.
Oh, it's not your fault.
Right.
Okay.
That's
okay.
My answer.
Right.
My answer is it's the cosmos. It doesn't want me to be here. Mother Earth, whatever.
Mother Earth.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know who makes those decisions when I get here, but
not sure it's either.
They're not against me. I mean, they are against me. They're not helping me at all. So.
So, okay. So I hear what you're saying.
So, I did my best. Like today
you did your best. Yeah. I don't doubt you always do your best, by the way.
How dare
So, I understand what you're saying, and I understand how in your mind that all makes sense, and you can wash your hands clean of the whole ugly incident because it's not your fault. But what some people do is they go, you know what? I live in a city where there's lots of overnight construction, where oftentimes lanes are closed and there are impediments to my progress to get into work. I'm going to leave early enough to get past all that. In the event that something like that's happening today, it's not going to affect me arriving to work on time because I'll have left early enough.
Kevin?
What?
Like when you're going to the airport.
Right, is he talking?
Because it's so important you make sure to leave extra early in case something like that happens. Then it's not a problem for you because you've built it into your clock.
I can't. I'm not – my headphones, I can't.
Is it going out?
Yeah, in and out.
I will say this.
That's strange. I can hear you well.
Is it weird?
Yeah. It's really weird.
I will say this. He doesn't have a sweatshirt on, so I feel like he did actually hurry out of his car in here.
Oh, I don't doubt his story. I think his story holds up. I think it's truthful.
Just not enough. Not enough to get me here on time.
Yeah. Just didn't work. That's all.
It didn't work, right?
What is it? Mike Tyson always says, "Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face." Sometimes you think you plan the whole thing out, and then it just doesn't work out the way you hoped.
Right?
That was a good Tyson pull.
Thank you.
And then you realize it's not his fault. It's not my fault.
Oh, okay.
Because oh, that's
the takeaway. Higher power at work here saying
higher power.
Was it the cosmos or Mother Nature?
You know, I don't know. Mother Earth. I don't
Mother
know.
Mother Earth.
I'm not
right.
sure who makes that decision, but the decision was made today that no matter what I did, I would not get here until a little bit later.
So if you'd have left at 4 a.m., you wouldn't have been on time because it was the universe conspiring against you.
The universe is so angry with
you,
Kevin.
They were going to put something in your way.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, God doesn't put more challenges in front of you than you can handle. He knows how strong you are.
Oh, this got deep.
Wow.
Right?
Did you make that up? You should make a t-shirt.
No. I certainly did.
Okay. So.
Well, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks. So far, so good. Are we talking about the show yet? I don't know. I don't know where we are yet. What do you I just walked in here. I don't know if Pete did his whole thing or what.
He didn't. We just
because of the waste me wasting time. Okay, let's talk about.
Do we have time? We don't have time to do the thing, so we should move on at this
we
point.
Have time to now's do the thing,
but is now the time where we usually move on?
I think now's when we
basically,
move on.
Basically, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well then I'll save my thing for tomorrow then.
Okay, all right. Bean's gonna save his thing. Dr. Drew is on the program today, like we do on Thursdays. We also talk sports with Jim Rome on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of sports,
nope.
I'm just
no. No.
Okay. All right.
He's going to ask about the Kings. I don't want to.
Well,
I
was going to ask if.
No.
Because you were schooling me on how playoffs work the other day, and I was wondering if now is where the Kings have the Sharks where they want it. Like, this is now they go, all right, you think you've got us, but we're going to school you.
Yeah, because they're kind of sitting back. They're like, oh, we need one more. This is ours. That's when they get complacent.
Exactly. So you've got them right where you want them.
Yeah.
This is really the only person who smack talks that doesn't have a team.
In the whole sport.
Right.
Like, doesn't care at all.
Watch the sport.
Yeah.
But he'll smack talk me.
Yeah.
Unless Chip's Ducks lost, and then he'll turn on her.
It's a
gift,
what's
up with them? Are they
really a gift.
What's happening? They suck.
Allie was trying to school me on how the hockey playoffs work, and I just want to make sure I'm still following her logic.
Yeah.
That the Kings are still doing exactly what you hope they're doing.
Right.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Mike Catherwood joins us today. Apparently he was... We're not positive. We're not positive what went on, but he got hurt in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Knowing Mike.
Yeah.
And not just another wrist injury.
Right.
Blew out his O-ring.
Right. And Johnny Knoxville joins us in studio. How about that? So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
How fun was it having Garbage come by the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday with their new song?
It was fun, Bean.
So much fun.
They're so fun. They're so nice. They're
fun,
so talented.
Talented, fun.
The new song is so great, and
nice.
If you did not get a chance to hear it yesterday, we are going to play it for you again next, coming up out of the top of the hour. Plus, we'll give you some highlights of the visit from Garbage yesterday. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Surprising and sad news today as we find news of China, the WWE star. Probably the best known of all the professional female wrestlers has passed away at the age of 45.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Police in Southern California responded to a 911 call from a friend who said they had been trying to contact her for days with no response. So they went to her home in Redondo Beach, and that's where they found her body. Friend said the 911 operator that Laurel, her name was Joni Laura. And she was not breathing. And when police arrived, she was pronounced dead. And so it was just tragic news. Of course, that's very young, 45 years old. Neither police nor the coroner's officials have released a cause of death, but she had been known to be battling substance abuse over her life, and so there's speculation perhaps that it was an overdose of some kind. And
very sad.
Very sad. Because I don't know if you ever saw her in any of the reality shows she did. She left wrestling, then she dabbled in porn. Remember, she did that couple porn movies, and then she was a staple on a lot of reality recovery shows where she was trying to deal with various issues, and she always seemed like a very sweet person, but just a very deeply troubled person who was fighting a lot of demons, and I always felt enormous sympathy for her. So, sad news that she's passed. Let's talk about better news, shall we? Like new babies, the circle of life, right?
Right.
Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys has welcomed his first child with wife Lauren Kitt into the world. Baby boy was born last Tuesday.
So babies are dumb.
No, they're wonderful. Babies are wonderful.
So sometimes they're dumb, though.
No, they're wonderful,
like, they're
little
so
creatures.
Bad at math, and
they are smart beyond the ways you can measure.
What?
I don't know what that means.
And they do math.
Babies
though?
Come out of the butt, right?
No, they do not.
They're a lot of questions.
They're innocent little beautiful little creatures. So let's welcome to the world Odin Carter. Odin.
Oh.
Huh.
Odin.
Huh. Is that a family name?
No. Yeah, that Odin, of course, would be the Norse
Thor, right?
Norse god.
Is it a family name?
They are. They are not Norse, to the best of my knowledge. But they're into this. Thor's dad was Odin, of course. He's like the Zeus of Norse mythology. And little kid was brought into the world the right way, being a god and all. Because the couple, Nick Carter and his wife, Lauren, apparently had a Game of Thrones-themed baby shower.
Really?
Because you know how the babies love their swords and dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And murderous weddings. All right, everyone stop having babies for a minute, because I need to catch my breath. Because people are bringing it extra crazy lately with the babies and the names. Odin.
Stop it.
Whatever happened to Bill?
I love a baby named Bill.
Right?
Yeah.
Or a Steve.
Yeah.
Nick Carter.
Sure, Nick.
Nick's a perfectly good name for a guy.
Sure.
Hey, Nick. Nick's a guy you like for the most part, unless he writes really long screenplays.
Sure.
Nick's a good name. Odin.
Yeah.
How about that whole deal?
Right.
Congratulations to Jennifer Aniston, who was just named the most beautiful woman in the world by People magazine.
This is the 1996 issue that just came out?
This is this week. This is this week.
That's confusing.
It sure is.
Does she have a movie coming out?
There must be something, right? It can't just be, they said, yeah, let's look at all the women in the world. That's the one. The one who used to be on Friends.
She is
beautiful. She's
attractive. Lovely.
There's nothing wrong with her.
Agreed. She's successful. Across the board, she wins.
Agreed.
Right. Mm-hmm. But let me reiterate. People magazine named her the most beautiful woman in the world.
Now, that's an unusual superlative for right now.
So congratulations on her publicist on a job well done.
And whatever cash may or may not have changed hands.
Yeah, what was up with that?
And Lindelar! It's in the news. Insiders close to Lindsay. And by insiders, I mean, right? It's Lindsay. Who's with me? This thing on?
Not sure.
Oh. I think it just means friends.
Oh.
Okay.
They're telling Us Weekly magazine that she has decided to convert to Islam. Hmm. She's been working hard on reading the Quran. I'm assuming it's just the word Quran that she's been working hard trying to read, right? I can't imagine it's a book. I'll pick it up tomorrow. So, she's ditching her Catholic roots, and she is now going to convert to Islam. So she couldn't have picked a better time, really, I think. It's the perfect time to make that choice.
I wonder if her supposed fiancé, I think he's a Russian heir to something.
He is. He is a Igor Tarabasov, mm-hmm. a 22-year-old Russian real estate heir. He apparently is completely on board.
Okay.
All right.
So, you think? I'm sure the people, the Muslims, the people of Islam, are just like, you know what? Got a lot on our plate right now. We're dealing with a lot. We have a lot of PR issues. We're doing our best to prove to people that we're a loving, kind religion. Maybe we don't need you right now. We don't need your help. Can you just stay over there for a while until we get things settled down?
We'll let you know.
We'll revisit this at a later date, what do you say?
But they'll want her next year when she's People Magazine's World's Most Beautiful Woman.
That's right, yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robbie Amell. Right?
Right.
Right.
He, of course, was Firestorm, the original Firestorm.
Mm, yeah.
But then, you know what happened?
Someone put him out.
Now Professor Martin Stein has a whole new partner. Jax, right?
Sure. From Sons of Anarchy.
No.
Right? Huh? Oh, is that
right?
What he's doing?
Yes.
Now?
James McAvoy is 37 years old. Rob Riggle. We love Rob Riggle.
He's the best.
Funniest Marine I know, Rob Riggle. Cure singer Robert Smith is 57. Tony Danza is 65 years old today. Singer Iggy Pop turns 69. And why is Queen Elizabeth II on my list?
Because
I don't know, but I applaud
that.
Let's cross that off the
list. I very much approve that. Happy birthday, Your Majesty.
Cross this off the list. 90.
Best queen ever.
Really?
Yeah, it's quite a category.
Best queen ever.
Really?
Tell me she's not.
She's universally hated in her country.
Untrue. Completely untrue.
She's universally hated in her country? How does the universe feel about her if in her country they hate her?
That's how much she's hated.
There's a universe of hate just in that small little country?
Just in.
The opposite is true, Allie. She's the most popular person in Britain.
Right.
We have very different
friends. So open up a blog.
We have very different friends in
England.
She's
the best queen ever.
She is the best queen ever.
How about Amidala?
She's a pretty good queen, too.
She's a great queen.
What about Latifah?
Oh.
Right? Right?
Let's hear it for her.
You know, Bean is so... He's such a flip-flopper. Because he's saying now how much he says he loves Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. But I remember a time when Bean demanded, nay, insisted... that every time we had the opportunity, we all had to hail Queen Latifah, remember?
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
So which is it, Bean? Which queen are we hailing?
You gotta pick.
Look.
Pick a queen, man.
Can't have both.
Pick a queen.
All right. Can we all agree the band Queen is awesome? Can we just go out on a positive queen. Note? That's a great queen.
Better than Queen Elizabeth.
Well, I don't know about that.
Universally hated.
I have heard...
Untrue. In her country.
I have heard Queen Elizabeth sing Fat Bottom Girls, and it's not really I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Minutes away from a brand new What's Up with Florida. I can't wait to tell you guys about what is now legal in Florida that has been illegal for the last 148 years.
Great.
They just changed the law this week. I can't wait to tell you about it. That's coming up. Also, Johnny Knoxville on the program today. And we'll catch up with our old friend Jim Rome talking sports. That's coming up, too.
Is it butt stuff?
It's not butt stuff. That's a great guess, though, Allie.
Thank you.
You guys... have been to Sweden? Have not been to Sweden.
No.
Have not.
Love
it. Oh, what a magnificent country. Okay. You know, there's some cities you go to and you go, man, I would live here. We were just having that conversation earlier in the week, Kevin, about Barcelona. Barcelona's the kind of city you visit and you go, man, it would be fun to live here. That's how I felt about Stockholm, one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to. Just so many great things to see and do. And Sweden is a very popular tourist destination for a lot of countries in the world, not so much from America. A lot of people don't go to Sweden on vacation. I don't know why, because it's a great place. But if you ever wanted to find out more about Sweden, they have put a program together where there's a phone number that they are heavily advertising that anyone can call from anywhere in the world. And essentially, it's Ask a Swede. You can talk to a Swede who's there in Sweden about what his country is like, if you've got questions.
What do you do if you don't have any interest in what Sweden is like?
Well, I don't know why you wouldn't have any interest in what Sweden is like.
I mean, I have interest, but enough to call?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to call? Why wouldn't you want to call and ask him questions? I mean,
ask him? Hey, how's it going? How's your life been up until now?
I think that's an excellent starter question. Yeah.
All right.
But, I mean, you know, they have a different system of government, and they have, you know, very different weather than you're used to, and very different, you know, schools and education. They have a lot of things that are different in Sweden.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe Americans could learn a little something about the way they do things there. It seems to be a very happy and prosperous country.
You're very excited. Should we call?
Can we? I would love that. Yeah, I would love that. Since the program began earlier this month, tens of thousands of calls from around the world have come into Sweden, by the way. Turkey is the number one country that calls Sweden, and the U.S. is number two, then the U.K. So we have no idea what Swede we're going to get, but it will be a person on the ground in Sweden.
Hello?
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 Yes, is this Sweden?
Yeah, this is Sweden.
Hi, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. We're on the radio at K-Rock Los Angeles from America, and we're calling to ask a Swede.
Okay.
How's your life been up till now?
Good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for talking to us.
Bye-bye now.
Bean is very, very excited about this, and I'm not quite sure why.
Very excited.
Yeah, way too excited, though.
Have you been receiving a lot of calls on the Ask a Swede line?
Well, you know, that's not how it works. You call the phone line, and someone in Sweden, just a regular citizen, will pick up the phone.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
This is my first time picking up the phone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did you sign up to be part of this program? Why do you want perfect strangers to be calling you and asking you a bunch of questions?
Because the country of Sweden is so incredibly boring.
Oh, no.
Oh.
There's nothing to do here, so I say, okay, you can call me and I'll talk to you on the phone.
Uh-huh.
But what about all the meatballs?
Yeah, I ate them. I have eaten them.
Right.
So I did that. Check it out, a bucket list of Sweden.
Right.
Okay.
I'm sitting in sauna.
Oh, you're in a sauna right now?
Yeah, I'm in sauna. I'm naked.
Oh. Okay.
In the sauna.
Okay.
I didn't know we were going to be talking to a naked man on the program today.
Yeah,
okay.
You got lucky, yeah?
I guess so.
Yeah.
And how about reindeer? Do you ever see or visit reindeer there in your country?
I visit them, of course, over at the Reindeer Visitor Center.
Uh-huh. Is that a popular spot?
Oh, yeah, we love to go there. So, hello, reindeer, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh. Then we go back to our home.
Right. What kind of work do you do there in Sweden?
I'm a IKEA test builder. I have to try to put together this furniture.
What's that noise?
I'm a... trying to build a shelf unit from IKEA in my sauna.
In the sauna?
Yeah. In the sauna.
Okay,
I see.
Thank God. I wasn't sure what you were doing.
Yeah, it makes the wood nice and moist.
Okay. Yeah.
It makes it easier to put together. Little tip from you from IKEA.
Okay.
Why do you make the directions from IKEA so complicated, so difficult for us to be able to put together your furniture?
We do that because we don't like you.
I see. Okay.
You don't like us?
No.
Oh, I see.
We don't like many people. We're very sad, the Swedes.
You're sad.
The Swedes
How come?
Sad people, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. We have suicide rate enormous here in Sweden.
Why are you sad?
It's BS country, pretty much.
It's not a BS country.
Country is awful.
Is it all the Ace of Base?
You put that in the file, why don't you?
How do you know about our file?
Oh, I'm, like I said, very bored. I look around and say, what the shows are worst in America. And Kevin and Bean keep coming up on my computer. Yeah.
And it's very dark for much of the day, for much of the year in your country as well, right?
Yeah, very dark, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, dark.
What else you got there, Bean? What else you
interested in?
Let's talk more about the reindeer times.
Your thoughts on the king and queen of Sweden? Are they very popular?
Oh, they are so much our king and queen.
Uh-huh. Do you like them?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You'd like to call the wrong guy.
Do you have any questions for us?
That's not how it works.
Are we done?
I hope so.
Sure. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Thursday morning. Talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky later on the program like we do. And don't forget, keep on listening. We're going to give you more tickets for LA Galaxy coming up and also for the new Key & Peele film called Keanu. All of that on the way. But first, I got a question for you guys, and I think you know what it is.
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
On vacation last year, the year before, I can't remember. I was in Alabama on vacation, and I was driving along the southern part of Alabama, and there's a portion of it where you actually leave Alabama and go through Florida for a few miles before you get back into the rest of Alabama, just the way the land works down there.
Right.
And I just felt was so uncomfortable actually being in Florida. I almost like pulled over when I saw the Welcome to Florida sign. I'm like, no, I don't want to go in
no,
there. I don't want to be crazy.
That's the best place ever.
I was anticipating guys jumping out with chainsaws.
Yes.
I had no idea what kind of crazy stuff was going to happen because every couple of weeks we bring you stories from the Sunshine State, and they really know how to do it down there. For instance, this is a Florida man in Largo. Police department got a call on Friday about a guy smashing a mailbox. They show up, and William Timothy Anderson Thomas is there. He has a shirt off. He is covered in dirt. They also noticed a flattened trailer tire, a broken window, and a real estate sign and garden angel that had been demolished there in the yard. Officers said that Thomas admitted causing the destruction, and they said he told them he had been listening to too much music and masturbating too much, and that made him feel like going out and destroying stuff.
I get it.
How?
What?
Usually I would think you would be kind of mellowed out by all the masturbating, but this guy got amped up and went out and started destroying stuff.
Yeah, I think he was methed out of his head.
Yeah,
right?
Perhaps there's more to this particular
story. Yeah, in fact,
story,
he was only willing to admit to the music and the masturbation, not so much to the meth, right? I love this report in the Palm Beach Post. Police did not note what music Thomas was listening to before the incident. The 25-year-old self-pleasurer was taken to the Pinellas County Jail. He is charged with burglary and criminal mischief and is behind bars on $7,000 bond. Yeah, the meth would also explain why you would even bring up the masturbation, right? Because there's no real need to bring that
right.
up to the police when they come to arrest you, right? Bruce Jenner is back, kind of. A Florida actor and bodyguard has changed his name to Bruce Jenner in a bizarre bid to preserve its heterosexual roots and keep the name of an icon alive. Are you following this train of thought?
Really?
This is Mark Behar, again, an actor and bodyguard, who says the name once stood for America, and I want to keep it alive. I've been seeing so many idols and athletes and icons die because of stupid stuff like drugs, stupid stuff like just getting old. We're losing icons, we're losing names, we're losing people faster than we ever have before. So he wants there to be a Bruce Jenner in the world, and goddammit, it's going to be him. I am not anti-gay. I have no problem whatsoever with Bruce changing his sex, but the way he did it, in my mind, was not proper. He says he did it all for the hype. He says that if he does not know if Caitlyn Jenner knows about the name change. He has not heard anything from her, but he said that if she wants her name back, look out. Not available. If Caitlyn ever wants to be called Bruce again, he's a day late and a dollar short. It's my name now,
wow.
He says.
Wow.
Because two people can't have the same name. So if
Kayla
wanted to change her name back, she couldn't because of what Mark has done here.
This guy does good work, right?
Yeah.
Guys, he was
he
wants there to be a Bruce Jenner in the world.
Right, why?
He's reclaiming it for heterosexuality.
Right, why? I don't understand that at all.
Kevin, this is your favorite kid on the internet. I wish we had more information about this. There's a YouTube video that is out that has been brought to the attention of the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department. It is a kid's eighth birthday party that shows a stripper shaking her ass for a boy in a chair.
Oh.
One youngster at the party is seen smacking the dancer's backside, and another of the kids is making it rain dollar bills.
How old?
Eight. An eight-year-old birthday party. Tampa cops received calls about the video last week, but they have not been able to arrest anyone yet. The footage does not conclusively show when and where this X-rated party happens, but they are continuing to investigate. But as you can imagine, when that video went up, all sorts of people are like, come on, you got to find this lady. She should be put in jail. The stripper should be fined. You can't have a stripper at a birthday party for an eight-year-old. You got to be at least 10 before
right?
that's appropriate
you gotta draw
in my
line
mind
someplace.
Anyway. I promised for you that I would tell you about a law that has just been changed in Florida, and this is going to surprise you, I think. Florida, as you know, has several laws that have made nationwide news, including the Stand Your Ground law that we learned about after the George Zimmerman case a few years ago. Well, here's some good news. Florida's 148-year-old law preventing unmarried men and women from living together has finally been repealed.
That was
April
7th
of this year. It was still a law.
Before April of this year, that was a law.
It was against the law for men and women who were not married to live together.
Wow.
And by the way, aren't there thousands of roommate situations where it doesn't necessarily involve sexy time? It just means people live in the same place, right?
Stop saying sexy time. Nobody says that.
In case you're wondering, by the way, were you arrested for living with someone of the opposite sex who is not your spouse? There could be a 60-day jail sentence and a $500 fine. Yes, this was a real law in Florida. I don't know why it took so long for them to vote this one out. However, it was not a unanimous vote. Five Republicans in Florida still voted to oppose the repeal.
No.
In 2016.
That's awesome.
And finally, this is What's Up with Florida, I know, but we may need a new segment of the Dick of the Week, because here is a young man whose name has not been identified because he was 17 years old. He was involved in an auto accident where he collided. It is unclear from the news reports I was able to read whose fault the accident was, but I will tell you that he was driving a Volvo and collided into a tanker truck full of 8,500 gallons of gasoline.
Oh, no.
They collided on I-75 in Sarasota, Florida, and the truck went off the road and caught fire, and the driver, Robert Druellis, was killed in the crash. The reason this story is making news is because 3 days later, what popped up on the 17-year-old boy's internet page but him standing in front of his totaled car with the caption, RIP Volvo, with a smiley face emoji, a teardrop above its eye emoji, and a semi-truck emoji. So he took a selfie in front of his car in an automobile accident that killed a man. And he's seen smiling with his fingers in the air. And a lot of people are like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is an opportunity to not take a selfie. Maybe this isn't an occasion that calls for an emoji where your car has just been wrecked and someone was killed.
Wow,
right?
That's crazy.
I mean, how out of touch are you with any kind of humanity that you take that photo and put it up?
Yeah, a guy died. Listen, get the car behind me. Make sure I get that.
Oh, his widow told KFTS News, the widow of the truck driver, I am angry because he's posting pictures on social media thinking it's all funny, and my husband's what's left of him is being cremated.
Mm.
So maybe, I don't know, and this maybe applies to people who take pictures, with their grandpa behind them in the box at his funeral. Maybe there are just some times where it's okay to not take a photo and put it up. Are you guys with me?
Well, it depends on how many likes you get.
Agreed.
This has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Our friend Johnny Knoxville joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Yes. Sad news. As I report that popular WWE star, at least she was in the 90s, she was probably the most famous female professional wrestler in history, China, has passed away. Police were responding to a 911 call from a friend of China's, whose real name was Joni Lauer. Hadn't heard from her in days, went to check on her at her home in Redondo Beach, and that's when she found her unconscious, not breathing. She told the 911 operator. Police arrived, and it was reported that she was indeed dead. No official cause of death yet, but she was just 45 years old, so people are speculating perhaps it's substance abuse related. We won't know until the autopsy, of course, but sad news. She was on that rehab with Dr. Drew show, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a hard time.
Yeah.
She seemed like a sad lady. Let's talk about things that are happier, like money! I love money! Interesting list out of the UK of the richest musical Brits. These are the British folk. They're of British persuasion. They are members of the Empire.
So
they're citizens of England.
Okay. All right, let me think. So they're
and
located.
Environs.
They came from
the UK.
The UK. Mm-hmm. Okay.
United Kingdom.
Can we, is there a phone number we can ask a Brit?
Richest Brits.
Beatles.
These are individual Brits who are all rich.
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney, Kevin, you're right, is the richest musical Brit.
Nice.
For the second year in a row. He is estimated net worth. Any guesses what he's worth, his value, his personal value? Not as a person, of course, just financially. Because as a person, he's priceless.
$500 million.
$1.08 billion.
Wow. Really?
Well over $1 billion.
Wow.
Now that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Until you realize he just barely edged out number two.
Really?
Yes. I appreciate your enthusiasm, by the way.
I am going to say Elton John.
I'm going to guess you. I'm going to hazard a guess that you'd never come up with it in a million years.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Oh.
Because you're not thinking.
Is Elton John on the list?
He is on the list, yes. In fact, he's third. I'll give you that.
Okay.
But Elton John has a paltry $716 million. Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is incorrect. Yes. Sorry. Sir Elton John has $401 million.
Okay. So you are
third
saying...
Third is BS because they're combining all of the fortunes of everyone in U2.
What?
Yeah, for $716 million. So they're third on the list. The band U2 collectively is third on the list, which I think is a cheat.
Well, you said individuals.
Well,
so
it was. They're the only band on the list.
So number two is an individual.
Yes.
And you say we won't guess it.
Correct.
Because they are dead?
No.
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Wishing well. So good.
No. Stop being everything that you are.
Not possible.
Mick Jagger.
No.
Oh.
He is fifth on the list with $337 million.
I'm fascinated that we wouldn't come up with number two. That's weird.
Because I know how you think.
Yeah.
That's why I'm telling you, you won't come up with it.
Is it
Weird
some...
Al Yankovic.
No, he's not even British.
Born in England, but moved somewhere, so we think of them as maybe an American.
No.
Oh!
The Queen.
No, the Queen is not a musical act.
She,
to the best of my knowledge.
Have you heard of Queen?
I've heard of the band
sakes,
Queen, yes.
Put it together.
The rest of the top ten, number six is George Harrison's widow, Olivia. Keith Richards, number seven. Ringo Starr, number eight.
Right.
Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley is number nine.
Wow.
And Sting, rounding out the top ten of the richest musical Brits.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande is not number two.
Joan Jett and Blackheart.
And not
number
British.
Two, and he says that because of the way we think.
Right.
What happened to Amy Winehouse? What happened to Amy Winehouse?
Barry Gibb, by the way, was that guess, which isn't a terrible guess. I know technically he was born in Australia, but we think of him as British. Barry Gibb?
No.
Oh.
It's because of how we think.
It's because of how we think.
Right. How do we think?
I'll give you another clue. Because you're focusing on popular music. You're thinking about recording artists and pop music.
Oh, okay.
This musical artist is not of that realm.
Oh.
So they didn't make their money on music?
They did, but not in popular music.
Classical music?
Classical music.
If you listen carefully to what I'm saying.
Classical music.
Ish.
Oh.
Ish.
Esque, but not...
Broadway music?
Oh, now he's zooming in. Stop raising your hand if you don't know the answer. Stop saying yes.
He's got like three names.
He does indeed have three names.
Oh, what is it?
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
No!
Yes! No. And the piano. And he's like, here are my songs. Oh, what's his name?
Herbert W. Fink.
Herbert W. Fink. Andrew Lloyd Webber. Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber has $1.02 billion to his
name.
That Broadway pays off. I'm going to write me a Broadway musical.
Wow.
Sure.
That's a lot of money.
How about that whole deal?
Huh? It's pretty good.
How about that?
I'm exhausted.
You should be.
All that guessing is hard work.
Enthusiasm for bad answers really wears you out.
Hey, I knew he had three names.
Yes, you did. Today's celebrity birthdays. Voice of the LA Clippers, Ralph Lawler, celebrates his 78th birthday today. Bingo. He's bingo guy.
Bingo, right? Yep.
Yeah, bingo.
I'm sorry, can I hear Ralph Lawler again?
Can we hear that again, please?
I don't know what happened to my throat in the middle.
Let's hear it.
Bingo.
I like
bingo.
Stop saying
bingo.
Robbie Amell's 28 years old today. She's practicing for the home.
Yeah.
Because when we send her there, she's going to be playing a lot of that game. James McAvoy's 37. Rob Riggle's 46. Robert Smith, 57. Tony Danza is 65 years old. Iggy Pop turns 69. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, in the days to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the return of our friend Patton Oswalt. Haven't had Patton on for a while. Looking forward to that. Also, Mark Maron is going to be joining us in the next few days. And this one's just for Ralph. Tom Cavanaugh in studio from The Flash. He's a bad dude, right?
Yep.
Dr. Harrison Wells, bad dude. Anyway, that's all coming up. Johnny Knoxville in minutes here on K-Rock.
Do we have time for a quick phone call from Mole Bean?
Yeah.
He's on the line.
We haven't talked to Mole in a long time. Sure.
Hey, Mole.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Ralph the Duck. You know who it is?
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's Mo. Cool. We said hi to you. Yeah. It's Mo. How are you, buddy?
Hey, can I sing you guys something real quick? Hold on. I wish you were married for 20. I miss you were married for 20. And a happy big fat doobie, too. Happy 420, you dudes!
That's the song that you were singing a lot yesterday when 420 happened?
No, today 420. Today's 420.
Well, today is actually 421.
Not possible.
But, I mean, yeah. You could still celebrate if you want.
Dude, I set my sundial in it. Wait. Oh, you know what happened?
What?
Oh, no. I got so wasted on 420, I missed 420.
Oh, what a bummer.
Oh, that's pretty sick with irony.
So everything that you had planned for yesterday, you're going to now have to do today, I guess.
Yeah, but I did everything. I thought you guys were going to come over. I made all the traditional stuff. The big holiday dinner. I made hash browns.
Right.
Any pasto, G. Kush salad, pot pie.
pot pie sounds great.
Alaska.
Right.
I made hashed potatoes. I know I always said hash, but there's always so many things you could do. Sure. And everybody likes hashed potatoes.
Right, sure. Agreed.
I made Blumpkin pie. Not Blumpkin pie.
Yeah,
not
please.
Not Blumpkin pie. It's a different holiday.
Please clarify.
Cranberry sauce. Not from the can.
Sure, right. Of course not.
Yeah, you got to homemade that.
That's absurd.
Got pot show soup. Vape
wow.
Suzette. I made Vape Suzette.
Stop it.
I made TH Caesar salad.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey,
you're busy.
I know. Hey, you guys want to come over Sunday, watch the season finale of Walking Dead? I hear we finally get to see that Ralph Nader guy.
Okay, it's not Ralph Nader.
Like
it's Negan.
Negan.
And it was
hey,
last
be racist,
weekend.
You guys, don't be racist.
Well, no, it's Negan. That's his name.
His name
just
is Negan.
Yeah.
And it was last Sunday.
It was last Sunday. You missed that too, Mole, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, man. I didn't even set my DVD-CR.
Well, there's part of the problem right
myself.
There.
I don't use big cable because they're not going to let us see Vin Diesel announce the Dodgers games this year.
That's Vin Scully.
This is his last season.
It's Vin Scully more than Vin Diesel.
Okay, listen. Forget all that other stuff. Are you guys sitting down? Okay. You ready?
Sure.
Yes. Yep.
I have tickets for all of us. Are you ready? We're going to week one of Coachella. Okay, hold on. Let's talk outfits. We can't all wear flower crowns.
Okay.
You should wear that tube top that says, I'm not as think as you stoned I am.
Okay, I do look good in that.
Did you say week one?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to go to week one.
Right.
Plus, I got a super deal of tickets. I don't think this guy knew what he had.
Okay. So any outfits for the rest of us or just Bean?
You guys know what you're doing.
Okay.
Right. I'm the one who needs the handheld.
You guys
want
to hear a rock and roll rumor? I hear Garbage is putting out a new album.
Well,
remember Shirley Hanson, her brothers did M-Bop?
Yeah.
Okay, it's no. You're close, but it's Shirley Manson, and they are putting out a new record in June 10th, and we had them on the show, and we talked about it. It's not a secret. It's not a rumor.
I made some Ratatouille weed.
Right.
back to the menu.
Back to the big party.
Sativa bone steaks.
Wow, you've been busy.
I made a smoked turkey. I'll tell you something. That's just some doing. Those things are impossible to keep wet.
We genuinely love this man, and it's always a lot of fun when he stops by. We're talking about the great Johnny Knoxville stepping in here on the Kevin and Bean Show, part of the new film called Elvis and Nixon in theaters everywhere tomorrow. How are you, Johnny?
I'm delicious. Thanks for asking.
You are one of the very few guests that come in that we legitimately say, how's your penis? And we're not joking. We actually are interested. And you say you report back good things, right?
Oh, amazing things. Mm-hmm. It's tiny but mean. It's true.
That's what you look for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you've been good?
I've been, really good. Excited about Elvis and Nixon, and happy to be back in here.
We were just talking before we went on the air that Dave knows nothing about the story. I knew the picture existed and the picture was real, but I know nothing other than that. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a story that couldn't possibly have happened this way.
I'm amazed that someone hasn't made a movie about it until now. It's so bizarre that, there was no planning behind it. Elvis just wakes up one morning and is like, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. and get a big shiny badge from the president because I want to be a federal agent at large.
Right.
And he just shows up at the White House carrying weapons And
so there was no setup. There was no advance team. There was no, hey, do you mind if we meet? There was nothing. It was just, I'm going to show up and get in.
I think he just took a bunch of Benzedrine and said, I'm heading to the White House. I don't know if he did, but I sure hope he did.
I assume he did.
Sure.
I know that 1971 was a very different time, and that's what's fascinating about this movie. I mean, Elvis just drives himself to the airport and shows up to get on a plane, packing multiple weapons, by the way, and thinks nothing of it.
No ID.
All.
No ID. Except for a badge he had from the Memphis Police. He loved badges.
Why?
It was like a little kid that loved badges. He thought that they gave him access to places, and he thought if he got the federal badge, well, he could, you know, fly anywhere with his guns and take his prescriptions anywhere.
I feel like that's true of Elvis anyway. Couldn't he get away with anything he wanted anyway because he was Elvis?
Yes, he could.
But he needs badges?
But he wanted that badge. He loved badges. It's like a little kid. It was like a little kid.
So had he showed up at the White House and gotten the badge, he would have just left? He didn't care about meeting the president?
I'm sure he did. He was patriotic, but he just really wanted that badge.
He did.
Like, irrationally so, you know?
What was your first thought when you got the script, Johnny? First of all, I hope it was that you wanted to play Elvis. I mean, I'm sure that was your first wish, right?
Well,
because you would have been a killer Elvis.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. See, that's why I wasn't Elvis. That terrible imitation. No, they told me Michael Shannon was playing Elvis and Kevin Spacey was playing Nixon, and I think
so.
I said
no
yes
names
before I even read the script. And after I read the script, I loved it. So
yeah,
they're brilliant in their roles. Michael Shannon, it's like an Elvis you've never seen before.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because how do you play Elvis unless you're just doing a lame copy of him? You know what I mean? Like, how does he do it?
I don't know how. If I knew how he does it, I would do it.
But you'd be a better actor.
He's amazing. He's an amazing actor, and he's so intense, and it makes everyone focused on set, and he's great to work with. And Spacey, he was just a riot.
Kevin Spacey is a genius. He's a riot.
As Nixon, like, you know, especially during the takes or after the takes, he would start swearing as Nixon. And it was really tough to stay in character.
I can imagine working with those two. It's hard just not watching them and being totally consumed.
That is a legitimate concern because I was like half fan, half acting, because it's like watching Ali Frazier go at it. If Ali Frazier were really helping each other as opposed
not
to
so much the punching.
Nailing
punching
each other.
Right?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of the actors say that on the set. You just get locked into watching them. So
yeah, and it's so fun when you're watching the movie because you know that this meeting is happening, or you hope it is, and then you just get to see these two giants going at each other one right after another, and they just they play it just so brilliantly. It's like watching an amazing stage performance, you know?
Exactly.
Just circling each other and the way they're playing it, because here's what's beautiful.
Explain why the meeting went that way, B. Or Johnny.
What do you mean? Why the meeting went that way?
You were saying they were circling each other and it was like this.
Well, just because they don't know, neither of them know what to expect. They're both very nervous. They're both there for completely different reasons. Nixon doesn't want to do the meeting at all, right, Johnny? He gets talked into it just because pollsters know Elvis is popular and it makes the president look good to be hanging out with a rock star.
Yeah, no president was keen to sit down with pop figures back in those days. It was like, what? No, I don't have time for that.
Right.
But he was talked into it. You know, he's leveraged by his daughters, you know, to meet with Elvis. So, yeah, it wasn't like now. There's rappers and singers and everyone in the White House all the time. But that didn't happen
all the
then.
Time. Yeah, I mean, it was very
– none
it was
of them
very
walk up to the gate and just knock.
Yeah.
With a gun. Doorbell or whatever.
With the crudely and not so greatly written letter, you know. Talking about the communists and Beatles and just anything he could think of to put in there to get their attention, which he did.
And he went in thinking, oh, I'm going to talk the president into becoming a spy.
Yeah, he really wanted to go. He wanted the badge. He wanted to go undercover to bust people for drugs.
What?
Which is amazing.
What are you talking about?
Did he know he was Elvis?
Yeah. Did he know he probably had 40 pills in his pocket?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he did, but I sure hope
maybe
he did.
Maybe with the badge, that's his defense. You caught me with a bunch of drugs, but look, I'm
that was
I'm
entirely
undercover.
His defense
right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
His way of thinking.
Yeah.
I think Priscilla Presley wrote that in her biography. That was what he was thinking and what he was
so
wanting.
He could get away with anything, basically, is what it was.
And he didn't want that photo released after if him and Nixon. He goes, no, I can't have that released because that's going to blow my cover. So for a year, they didn't release it because he was undercover.
It is funny, though. You know, now we know that prescription drugs are drugs. But back then, in Elvis's mind and in the mind of a lot of people, if you were taking prescription drugs, that was okay.
Yeah.
You just couldn't be smoking the weed or doing anything harder than that. And Elvis did stay away from all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know how. I don't know if he could have fit any more drugs in.
Yeah, maybe that's true. He was only 35 years old when this would have happened in real life, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. This was 70, and he died in 77. So, and this was like when he was still kind of handsome, but starting to go into that little area, like in the that documentary, The Way It Is. That was 1970. So he was still handsome and talented, but he'd go a little bananas every now and then, and this would fall under the bananas phase of his life.
Let me play a couple of quick clips here, just because I enjoyed them so much, and I think if you hear Michael Shannon as Elvis, for instance, in this clip, you're going to want to see this movie because listen to how dialed in he is to the king here.
Now, plainly speaking, sir, I want to get people to respect our country, to respect our flag, because that's what's getting lost in our nation. It bothers me to see young people burning flags and smoking dope. And just because I don't smoke dope or grow a beard, does that make me straight or square? Because if it does, heck, I'll take being a straight or square any day of the week.
I mean, how great is that, by the way? That's Elvis.
That went on for 20 minutes, them talking back and forth about like that.
I wish people could just see the dailies because they were all amazing, the things we didn't use. And he was – when he wasn't – when they between takes, he was still Elvis, and I was still Sonny West, and like I would like walk around with this cape and put it on him, and he expected that, and I was totally like I loved going there with him, and I mean when you're working with someone of that level, he just makes everyone better. Kevin Spacey as well.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Kevin Spacey.
I'd be afraid of both of them. If I was acting in a scene with both of them, I would be afraid that I would screw it up, and then Kevin Spacey would just look at me, and I would have to die.
Yeah. There's moments where you're like, you don't want to mess this up.
Right.
But the set was actually loose.
So it was.
And, you know, so, yeah, you could – there was that latitude, but I understand that way of thinking.
Did you get the sense at any point, and I'm sure you were looking for acknowledgement from them, that they thought you were doing a good job? But did you ever feel that? Like, did they ever say to you, hey, good take, or anything like that? Or are they too cool to even know that you're there?
No. They're like, actors of that level, they are, if they're doing anything, they're listening, you know? So they will, you know, no one really goes up and says, great job, because that makes you conscious of, oh, now we're acting. And
now we're acting.
Know, you can feel, you know, there's looks and but yeah, I felt everyone was performing on that set. I mean, Colin Hanks was great.
He's awesome. Oh, he's great in the movie.
Yeah, so.
So are you friends with Kevin Spacey now? Like, is he in your phone?
He's not in my phone, but I love Spacey. I've done two movies with him now, both in New Orleans, and just a joy to work with.
Wow. We got to take a quick break. Much more to discuss with our friend Johnny Knoxville. The film is called Elvis and Nixon, by the way, and it is one of the most surreal episodes in American history, and now you can see it unfold in front of your very eyes, and it's really, really good. More with Johnny right after this on K-Rock. Johnny Knoxville in studio with us right now on the Kevin Bean Show. The film is called Elvis and Nixon in theaters everywhere tomorrow. Johnny plays a real-life man in the movie named Sonny West, who was part of Elvis's Memphis Mafia. These were the people on Elvis's payroll that basically just traveled with him and helped him with whatever he needed to do.
You were his cape West guy?
Yeah,
his cape guy?
A cape man.
Yeah.
Is Mr. West still alive, Johnny?
No, sir. He's not. But, you know, I got to sit down with Jerry Schilling, who was also in the office with Sonny West and Elvis that day. And he really helped a lot and told me so many stories. And some of which, the first half I remember because we were in a bar in New Orleans drinking tequila. And the last half of our conversation, I have no clue, but I was thoroughly entertained.
I was wondering how many notes there were of the actual conversation that happened between Elvis and the president and how much of it was left up to the screenwriter's imagination for what they talked about.
Did they not record stuff in the Oval Office then?
I think
all
Johnson
the phone calls,
started,
I know that.
Yeah. Johnson was, and then Nixon did it for a while, so this wasn't recorded.
Oh, it's too bad.
So we only know kind of what they were saying when Jerry and Sonny were in there, and but we kind of took poetic license with what they were talking about while they were in there. So
it was very true to the character. I played in the last segment, I played a little bit of Michael Shannon as Elvis, and he is so incredible in the movie, as
amazing.
You said. And now I want to play a little clip, if you'll allow me, of Kevin Spacey as President Nixon.
Please.
Because, I mean, he is President Nixon. I mean, this is one of the most astonishing performances of a president. And Kevin Spacey's a guy who knows how to play a president.
Yeah, no kidding.
As we've learned. Listen.
Yes. They don't hate us, Elvis. They hate what we stand for. I mean, you and me, we rose from nothing. My pa worked in a grocery store. Your father was a sharecropper, yes?
A whole slew of things,
well,
sir.
I think we were both somewhat loners. And look where I am today. Look where you are. Well, a lefty sees that, and instead of wanting to walk in our footsteps, why, they get jealous. Brings all their failures up bubbling right in front of their faces. And well, so, of course, they react like caged animals because that's what they are, just animals.
I just want him to read everything. I just want to listen to that voice
president.
In my ears all the time.
He's brilliant. And he would like to, you know, stay in character a little between takes and I just loved when he swore.
and he also, what he also nailed is he was just he could turn on the charm. The way he acts when Elvis comes into the room versus the way he acts before Elvis comes into the room is a completely different person because he is a professional politician who knows how to schmooze. And Spacey was so great at showing that.
Amazing. And he looked, and he was having a ball playing that role, just from appearances and just the way how loose he was, and it just shows on screen, and you're talking about how he changed characters when he changed attitudes when Elvis walked in the room. Elvis walked in the room with so much attitude, it was so tense when they were, you know, when Elvis and Nixon were going
so
at it.
So Elvis didn't change his attitude at all when he walked into the Oval.
Figures the biggest in their respective fields.
All right, let me ask you one more thing about Elvis, because I know you are, like me, a huge Presley fan, and you have been your
huge.
Whole life. Do you feel that Elvis is someone who continues to be discovered by young people and translates generation after generation? Because I'm starting to feel a little drop-off in Elvis mania for the first time in my life. What do you think?
I don't know. I think he still continues to be one of the biggest selling artists of today, but maybe as far as awareness, maybe he is, but I think this movie will like open him up to a whole new generation, and he's just a brilliant performer and an amazing personality. I mean, with so many different entertaining sides to him.
I just feel like people are continually rediscovering the Beatles, and they've done a fantastic job of remarketing the Beatles over and over again. But Elvis, it just doesn't seem like, you know, like you're saying, maybe this movie is gonna make people start reexamining Presley again.
Yeah, nobody's really doing Elvis covers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's, you know, Peter Guralnick wrote two great books, The Rise and Decline of Elvis, and he just came out with a book on Sam Phillips. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that contributes. The Sam Phillips book is unbelievable, by the way, and I'm reading the Elvis books. But, you know, hopefully more people will rediscover Elvis, the ones who haven't, because I'm a fanatic.
It's so funny. I was thinking about the last time we had you in was when you were in for the Evel Knievel documentary.
Yes, sir.
And Evel Knievel and Elvis kind of remind me of each other in terms of just being guys who blaze their own trails and do things nobody else has ever done and look at the world in a different way. I wonder if that's why I wonder if there's some similarity there that is attractive to you.
Yeah, well, they're such ultimate showmen. And Knievel was just the ultimate salesman, too. Elvis had Colonel Tom for the sales part, but just the ultimate showman. And I think they exchanged. Elvis gave Knievel a belt, and Evel gave him a cape. You know, they were fond of each other. And you know, Knievel admired Elvis, and he also admired Liberace. So for their showmanship,
right? Of course.
So he took what he could from those two figures.
The 70s were fun, weren't they, Johnny?
Oh, man. I mean, if we could only just talk about the pubes, the 70s were amazing. And the music was great, too. You know, the disco, you can argue about, but the punk that came out of the 70s.
All right, did you have the right clothes in your closet, or did they have to actually use wardrobe for you?
They actually used wardrobe for me, but I have, like, I keep all my outfits, so I have, like, so many sailor outfits and Roman gladiator outfits. I mean, if you need an outfit for Halloween, come to my house. And
I love that pubes was his go-to for the 70s.
That was my follow-up.
I'm fascinated.
That was my follow-up is the pubes. Real?
Method?
Oh my God.
Method with the pubes?
Right. I let mine grow out. It was like belly button down to my arse and thigh to thigh. It was like a flat carpet. Oh.
I'm sorry I asked that.
But, Johnny, is this an actor's thing? Because none of that is on screen. Is this something you had to do to feel like you were in that the correct time period to play your character?
Well, I didn't have to. But it sure made me happier that I did.
A lot of fun for your wife, too, right?
Oh, yeah. It was like, you know, Where's Waldo with my gym dog. It's tough enough to find anyway, but as soon as you grow the pubes about 4 inches past it, then it's like damn near impossible.
All right. We're almost out of time. Elvis and Nixon in theaters everywhere tomorrow. What's next for you, Johnny Knoxville?
Well, I'm working on a couple of films right now, like getting them ready to shoot, and me and my cousin have a radio show on Sirius, the Big Ass Happy Family Jubilee. Saturdays, me and Roger Allen Wade, so staying busy.
You're going to be a full-fledged movie star, aren't you?
Oh, I mean, really. With your guys' help, we're going to take over the world.
I'm not sure we're helping.
Yeah, I don't
you're
know.
Helping.
We can do.
Except for the pubes thing. I brought that up, and then you guys, okay, well, thank you, Knoxville.
Yeah, that was my bad. Well, you said it, and then I followed up. That's my bad, so that's all.
Johnny, we love you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank you. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Conor McGregor from the UFC has finally made a statement clarifying his earlier tweet about retiring. And responding to Dana White's comments about that, we'll talk to Jim Rome about the whole mess.
I'm very upset with him. He's throwing me lucky charms.
Talk to Jim Rome about the whole unfolding drama coming up just after 8 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Rob is in with the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
You're the Lucky Charms guy, Doug?
No.
That's me.
Yeah, the voice of the Lucky Charms leprechaun, right?
Yes. You said, right? Okay. From 1963, I think, 62 through the late 90s, he was the voice of Lucky the Leprechaun for those commercials. He is responsible for ruining an entire nationality's accent for America. Because every Irishman who visits America, everybody goes, they say, we don't talk like that. And I have to punch you in your fat face. Think of how responsible he is for the tensions between the Irish and the American.
So we're happy he's dead? Is that what we're saying?
That's what Ralph's saying, I think.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Though he made a sweet-ass cereal, didn't he?
He sure
charms.
Did.
That was good stuff.
No,
good
he
stuff.
Made it, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh. He sat there and just, he would carve each and every treasure out of marshmallows then paint them gingerly.
Blue diamonds, green clovers, yellow stars.
Kevin, I'll ask you this because I know this is right in your wheelhouse. The more sugar in the cereal, the better. But didn't at one point Lucky Charms come out with boxes that were just the marshmallows?
Yes.
Really? Sweet,
yes, right? They did. It was the best.
It was like a lottery, though. You didn't know which ones it were. You had to buy them on the shelf.
Oh, really? They did not advertise. Okay.
No, it was like a special box. In every 25, there was a special box filled with nothing but charms.
And they don't fill you up.
The charms?
Yeah, it's like eating air.
No, it is. And then you go right into the diabetic coma,
sure.
So it doesn't really matter anyway.
And sugar, yeah.
It's less for you to vomit, really, when they're taking you to the ER when you crash.
Oh, it's such good.
Your insulin explodes.
Such a good way to eat.
Woof. Anyway.
Woof.
Just made me think of that. Speaking of death, sad news from the wrestling world. Former WWE star Chyna, who was, I would have to say, arguably the most famous female professional wrestler in history.
Oh, for
sure. I think so, yeah.
Joni Lara was her given name, passed away yesterday. Or at least they found her yesterday. Found her dead in her Redondo Beach apartment. Was found by a friend who was trying to get her on the phone for a few days. And when she didn't respond, she went by and then called 911 when she found her body. Police arrived and pronounced her dead on the scene. So, sad news. She was only 45 years old. No cause of death given yet, but she does have a history of battling substance abuse issues, and so people are speculating perhaps that was a cause, but we won't know for sure.
Never got her due from the WWE either. Never inducted into the Hall of Fame, anything.
Well, they parted on bad terms, right?
Well, I don't think a lot of it was her fault. I think it was a weird Stephanie McMahon, Triple H situation, and it's ugly, and I guarantee she will be inducted into the Hall of Fame now, and it's hollow, and it's gross.
When she left, I know she sort of went into a spiral after she lost that lofty position of being their big star, and she got into adult film acting, and I think that was because of a sex tape that was released without her.
Oh, a real one?
A real personal sex tape was released. Whether she was involved in that release or not, I don't know, but she piggybacked on the notoriety of that by getting into actual porn films, and then substance abuse issues, appear with Dr. Drew on his rehab show, and it was sad to watch her kind of spiral out of control. She seemed like a nice girl, so sad news. Let's talk about something that's happier, right?
Right.
Three's Company, bitches. Woo!
Did you say Three's Company?
We'll be waiting for you.
We'll be waiting for you.
When the kisses are hers and hers and his, Three's Company too.
Oh, are we going to call? Is it the Regal Beagle looking for me?
Three's Company.
I'm just totally psyched. What's going on with that?
Three's Company is being made into a major motion picture.
Uh-oh.
Yeah! Come on!
Yes!
Jack and Chrissy and Janet.
Larry. Will it be the Furleys or the Ropers?
Gotta go Ropers, right? Gotta go old school with the Ropers.
Yeah, go Roper.
Okay.
Stanley! Although Furley, though. Oh, you gotta love some
so
Furley.
Good. Right.
Jack, what are you doing? Come on. Is there anything better than a Three's Company major motion picture? Imagine the hijinks.
Can I tell you a story?
Because Jack's going to have to pretend to be straight because two women would never live with a gay guy. Oh, wait a minute. This will not work at all anymore, will it? This whole idea is just from the 1970s. It'll never work.
Can I tell you a story? When I was a kid, I walked in on my grandpa.
I don't want to hear any more of this story.
Watching Three's Company. And he saw him, and he looked at him, he's like, "Don't tell Grandma."
Really? Like it was dirty?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I just think she was very disappointed.
It was dirty. Chrissy Snow braless and her little dolphin shorts and tank tops.
Don't tell Grandma.
Jack, what's going on in there? Furley being all
confused. This is making me extremely horny.
Yes. Right?
Oh,
with his
no.
neckerchief. Furley had his neckerchief on.
Sure.
Yes.
Pantsuits.
Oh, so good.
Go watch it. Get whatever you're doing right now. Pull over in your cars. Quit your jobs. Drop out of school and just go home and watch Three's Company.
They can't wait till the end of the day today.
They have to go right now. Okay. The more I talk about it, the more turgid I'm getting.
Ooh.
Just like Grandpa, Kevin.
How about that whole deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Turgid Grandpa, by the way, is playing Coachella this weekend.
We should have pitched that to Knoxville as a sequel to Bad Grandpa.
Mr. Roper would say, "I think Jack's one of those." And he'd put his hand all down and flimsy. That was, what were they thinking?
They might have to change some of that.
They might have to change it. Unless they do it a la sort of like the Brady Bunch movies where they do it like set in the 70s. With all the confusion about sex and homosexuality and heterosexuality. Men and women living together. It's controversial.
Sure.
This shit was a drama. Jack Tripper had nowhere to live. So he was forced to live with two women he was not romantically involved with. And perpetuate the ultimate charade. Today's celebrity birthdays. Iggy Pop. Legend. Iggy Pop, 69. Maybe the last of that breed of the punk slash glitter glam rock era of rock and roll in the 70s, the Bowie-esque era. He was an icon. I think his most recent album is called My Last Go-Round or something. Like I think he knows he's sort of on the precipice. 69 years old today. Tony Danza, 65. Where's the Taxi movie, right? When are they going to make that a major motion picture?
I don't think we need that.
A bunch of guys sitting around a garage talking about Louie?
I don't think we need that.
Nato. Robert Smith is 57 years old today. Rob Riggles, 46. James McAvoy, very talented man. Soon to be seen in the new X-Men movie. Can't wait. Finally see how Professor X gets bald. Finally.
Finally.
All the answers we've been looking for. He's 37 and Robbie Amell. Firestorm, 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:07.
This time every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are thrilled to be joined by our friend Jim Rome, host of the Jim Rome Show, heard nationwide and at jimrome.com. How are you today, sir?
Brothers, can I say, you just got to wake up and make some money. Do it now.
That's what wake 21 up, pilots
you got to make money.
It's true.
Well, Jim, we have a bunch of stuff, as always, that we want to talk to you about because the world of sports never slows down. There's always a lot of stuff happening. But we have late-breaking news right now on the Conor McGregor front, and I know you have been perusing his, I don't know, it looks like about a 300-word post on Facebook where he's kind of explaining some of his mysterious tweets from earlier in the week. What's your takeaway? What do you think?
Conor McGregor is not very happy right now. I think he wants to wake up and make some money but not have to do the promotion to get that money. You know, he had that tweet earlier this week where he said, you know, I'm out, I'm retiring, that's that.
What was your reaction to that tweet?
I did not buy it for a second.
Same.
I mean, there's no way. Come on, the guy's 27. In MMA and the UFC, you've got guys fighting into their mid-40s. There's no way a guy in his prime at 27, who even after a loss is still the biggest name in the sport, is going to walk away and leave all that dough and the life on the table. So I didn't buy it. There was something going on, and now apparently we know what it is. I mean, as part of that gig, you have to do a lot of promotion, and nobody's better at promoting it than Conor. But I think Conor's reached a point in his life where he's saying, I've done this for you all. I've made you all a lot of money, and now it's getting in the way of my job. I'm trying to get ready for a fight to fight a guy where I just lost to, or who I lost to, and I'm sick of doing it. Find somebody else to do it for you. And that's just not going to fly. Dana White's not doing that. That's part of the gig.
I can understand just from the standpoint of I was considered unbeatable and bigger than the sport, and then I went and got my ass kicked. Now I need to make sure that doesn't happen again. I can understand that.
No, I get that. I get that. The thing is, he might be the biggest thing in the sport, but he's not bigger than the sport. Nobody's bigger than that sport. And I love him. This is a big Conor McGregor house. But there have been a lot of the next biggest thing in the world that have gone away, and that sport's been just fine, and that company's been fine. Look, guys, they're part of your jobs that you don't like that you have to do. We all have parts of our job that we don't like that we have to do. And this is it. And by the way, the guy is so good at it, and he's made so much money for himself doing it. Just suck it up and find a way to get through it. You got to promote.
He says in the Facebook post, by the way, talking about this money, he says, I feel the $400 million I have generated for the company in my last three events is enough to give me this slight leeway. Now, Dana came out and said in that interview on SportsCenter the other night, in no uncertain terms, look, this is part of the job. You're either all in or you're all out, paraphrasing there, meaning that the promotions that we ask you to do is what's required if you want to be on the fight. And Dana did not waste any time pulling him from UFC 200. I mean, I really thought it was was impressive how he fought back hard.
No, he's a gangster when it comes to things like that. And listen, Conor, whether he likes to admit it or not, he needs them more than they need him. Exactly where is he going to go and get that kind of run and get that kind of money?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve what is rightfully his, but that's part of the gig. Dana said the same thing to me on this show. What am I supposed to do? I've got the biggest event of the year. He's the main event in that biggest event, and he's not going to promote the fight. The guy can't just show up the night of the fight and do what he does. He's got to promote the thing. It's all part of it. And at the end of the day, I really think he needs them more than they need him. So Dana's not giving in.
Do we have any idea how much of this stuff he was talking about? Because in his rambling, you know, sometimes incoherent speech, it was talking about how he has to go into the middle of nowhere and talk to people who he doesn't know. Does he just need to do a press conference for Dana? Or is all that other stuff involved?
I think that's a great question. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, I know the guy doesn't want to break camp and leave Iceland to come to Vegas to do this promotion. But if you look at this Facebook post, he's saying things like, man, I'm tired of it. I don't want to go into some hick town where I don't know these people, where they don't give a damn about me and I don't give a damn about them, and hype up their morning show. Not like your awesome morning show, guys, but hype up some other lame morning show to take time away from my preparations when that guy made me look bad. So I don't know if he's saying I'm not doing any of it or if he's saying I'm not going to do as much of it, but clearly he doesn't like doing it.
By the way, I would be very sad right now if I were Tim and Susie on the Nobody Gives an F morning show that he calls out of his Facebook page. If there's a Tim and Susie somewhere, they are hurting this morning.
There's a Tim and Susie everywhere.
So it's Dana's move now. Do you think there will be some accommodation here that they'll smooth this thing over? And I mean, is there a possibility that there's a place to meet in the middle with a limited promotional activity from Conor? Or do you think Dana is going to...
I just wonder
if Dana's going to stick to his guns and say, you got to do everything or you got to do nothing.
Yeah, because then everybody else will say, well, hey, wait a minute, Dana. If he doesn't have to do it, why do I have to do it? And Dana's not one of those guys to say, because he's different than you. I mean, he might be different in that regard, but Connor sees himself as a partner and or an owner, but the fact of the matter is he's an employee. And if Dana lets him skate and he gives in to him, everybody else is going to say, what about me? What about me? Right. I don't think Dana can. So they've got to find a way to make it work for both sides. But Dana's not giving in. But believe me, this is not the last fight that Conor McGregor's had. This guy's going to fight again. There's no way he walks away in the prime of his life from all that money and the life just because he doesn't want to go on Tim and Susie's show.
So he doesn't get put back on UFC 200 no matter what?
No, I'm not saying that, but it doesn't look good in the sense. I had Dana on earlier, and Dana said, look, I've got this crew here in Los Angeles. We're laying out $10 million in advertising to promote UFC 200. If Conor comes in here and he does what he's supposed to do, and he shows up for his obligations, we can still do this thing. The door is open, but it's about to slam shut. My feeling is, I'm not sure how they get that thing done for UFC 200, but there's going to get something's going to get done for sure.
Right. Well, they do still have 3 months to do it, too, right?
But not for the shoots that are happening. That's happening this week.
Right. Yeah.
And they want to get that stuff in the can.
And by the way, this is, we're talking about Conor McGregor and the UFC, but there are obligations for publicity for every professional athlete, right? Remember, we went through this a couple seasons ago when Marshawn Lynch would not talk to the media, and the fines just piled up every single week when he refused those press conferences. But that's how the sport gets promoted, is the athletes make themselves available, and that's true across the board no matter what you play.
Hey, listen, find me one A-list actor that likes doing those junkets, that likes showing up, likes doing the media, likes doing the promotion. Really, nobody likes doing it. If you have a book, you've got to do the book tour. It's all part of the deal. It's a part of the gig. It's what you signed up for.
And who should know that better than Conor McGregor? He has been the best at that for quite some time.
It doesn't even look like it's work, right? But I understand where it is. If they're flying you around, you got to keep showing up and showing up the way he does. But again, Conor, he's saying, I've made these people so much money by doing these things. But he's also made himself a lot of money by doing these things.
I feel like Tim and Susie really effed this up for us.
They screwed it up for everybody,
Absolutely.
Didn't they?
When in doubt, blame those two.
Absolutely.
Stupid Tim and Susie.
Hey, look at a legend like
Tim and Susie make me sick.
You're not doing their show anymore.
They're ruining everything.
So lame. And they mail it in. They show up 5 minutes before they go on the air. They've got their own Sanchez doing all the work for them anyway. I hate those two.
Oh, no. Hear 3 full hours of Jim Rome at jimrome.com. Or if you get 1090 AM out of San Diego on your radio, you can hear it live on the radio as well. And Jim, always a pleasure to have you on, man. Thanks for the cheese.
You guys are awesome. See ya.
Weekend number 2 of Coachella is happening, coming up here starting tomorrow. And of all the many bands on the bill, the one that's not on the bill is the Near Lethal Coachella Poo. But that is something that Mike Catherwood tweeted about, the Near Lethal Coachella Poo. And we got to find out what's going on with our boy Mike.
Do we? Hold on.
We do. I think we do.
Yeah, you do have to find out.
Yes, we do. Okay.
If it's near death by poop, I want to know what happened, Michael, because you respects a good poop, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're like a connoisseur.
I show more reverence to the great poo than I do to maybe anything else.
Right, exactly. Mike's a guy who, when he worked on our show for all those years, took great pride in stepping out to punish the porcelain, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
That's right. My greatest achievements when I worked for the Kevin and Bean Show were not stuff that I did on air. It was when I quit the bathroom out of commission.
Yeah, it's true.
Respectable.
I mean, he would run up and down the hallway with a victory sign. He was just so excited.
It became a hazmat area after Mike was done with it on some days if he did it right. All right, so Mike, so what happened? So you and your lovely bride and your beautiful daughter, what, you all go out to the desert planning on a relaxing weekend of rock and roll at Coachella?
Well, yeah. In fact, my wife and I even had my mother-in-law come to L.A. and stay at our house with Magnolia, so that my wife and I could have like a weekend away.
Okay.
Like, romantic
grown-up weekend.
Thing. And so we get up there and we drive up Friday evening. I'm talking to Kevin and Bean, Magnolia. Thank you. I drive up there Friday night with Bianca, and I feel fine. I go to bed. I feel fine. Wake up Saturday morning. I feel fine. And I get up to go to the bathroom in the hotel room that we were staying in, and nothing seems off.
Right.
And I go in there and I do damage.
Right.
But when I come out, I tell my wife, I say, I don't really feel very well. And that's the last I really remember. But after that, I guess I went back into the bathroom, and she said that I came back out completely covered in sweat and just white as a sheet. And I looked at her and started mumbling and just fell straight back and smacked my head on the on the toilet in the sinking area.
You passed out?
Yeah, I passed out. I just lost consciousness, and She said I was like totally sweaty and you know, saying gibberish and speaking in tongues and stuff, and I feel like I was possessed by poo.
It sounds to me like the porcelain punished you, though, in this particular case.
You know, listen, like they say, sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes the bar eats you.
Right. That's what I've heard,
bathroom,
yes.
Same thing goes for the
bathroom. Okay. So, Mike, you're a guy who is generally in the tip-top physical condition that a human can be, and you're very careful about what you eat. You're always healthy. You're not a guy who gets sick.
Annoyingly so.
Annoyingly so, right. Yeah. So this isn't just a case of a guy, like happens to me sometimes, which is I don't eat for 14 hours or something like that. I get super lightheaded and fall down because I don't have enough sugar in my blood. That didn't happen to you, right? You keep that stuff monitored.
No, there was absolutely nothing like dietary wise or any type of weird supplements. I just, you know, I ate healthy the night before. I wasn't like going off the deep end, you know, for vacation. There wasn't something that could have set me off like that.
Right. Gotcha.
And, the best part about it to me was that, you know, I guess in my fugue state where I don't remember things, I kind of got some remnants over like the hotel floor and like the bedding.
Okay.
And you know, my wife.
We're losing you, Mike. Go back to where you were before. We're losing you.
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So my wife, understandably so, you know, calls the paramedics when I pass out, and the firemen showed up first, and I don't remember this, but my wife says, you know, there's poo all over the hotel, you know, bed and floor and everything. And the fireman shows up, and he's like, sir, do you know your name? And I go, it's Michael. And the guy goes, Catherwood? I'm a big fan.
No!
That's how you want to meet your fans, right there.
Yeah. I really want to meet my fans when I have my pants around my knees and there's just remnants of.
Okay, we understand. You don't have to give the details. So they take you to the hospital, and would they do a CAT scan or something?
Yeah, they took my blood, and then they, you know, they tested me, did all the vitals and stuff. My blood pressure was like really, really, really low. I guess that's why I passed out. My wife's saying, she's mouthing to me, it was like 60 over 40 or something. Like,
wow.
Really concerningly low.
Is it possible that you just pooed too much? It just took everything out of you?
Honestly, because I never got any.
Like body parts?
Yeah, Buick. I never got any conclusive answer as to what caused it, but I think that I did like the touchdown poo. And my body told me to give up. Like, you're never going to get any better than that.
You just won. It's over.
It's time to go. Time to go.
So you went to the ER?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And the funny thing is like the emergency room in Palm Springs on Coachella weekend is one of two people. There's either 90-year-old guys who just broke their hip for like the fourth time, or a hipster with a beard and a bloody face, you know, from like passing out from GHB and ecstasy.
Right. Look, Mike, you're way too young to die, and you've got many years ahead of you for your family. And, of course, we're glad you're okay. But if you had to die young, death by poop would have been your choice, right?
That's the way to go.
It would be fighting overseas for our country or death by poop. One of the two.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm happy I'm okay, too.
Has this ever happened to you before?
No, never. One-time thing. Never lost consciousness from poo-poo.
Right.
Mike, I've got to add my two cents here. As a avid Dateline watcher, have you signed any papers recently, life insurance policies? Has Bianca maybe been giving you some blue Gatorade that could possibly be antifreeze and she's been poisoning you for months?
Allie, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to like speculate.
Yeah. Right.
But let me remind you, my wife makes considerably more money than I do, and I have no value to her.
Well, no, I mean, so, she wants to get rid of you, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Oh, well, I mean, there's that. But if you want to get rid of me, why wouldn't you just kick me out of the house?
Do you have a ridiculously attractive new pool boy?
No, but my wife has been spending a lot of time with her good female friend, who just happens to be like a perfect. Midlife lesbo crisis.
Okay.
Go on. All right. All right, Mike. Thank you for talking to us. Glad you're okay, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay,
see you. Bye. All right, so Mike gets up, and it's just another Saturday in paradise, and the next thing you know, he's got the paramedics there because he has completely passed out based on nothing. There's no reasonable explanation for how you get hurt sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know
sometimes
how that happens.
You just don't see it coming. And that's the topic on the table that we're looking for right now. It's been a while since we've done this, but we were looking for. Well, how would you phrase this, Kevin? The smallest way you hurt yourself, maybe?
Yeah, stupid, insignificant, and embarrassing ways that you hurt yourself.
Least likely way you could have found yourself hurt is what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, Mike was just taking a poop. One minute he's taking a poop, the next minute he's on the floor, face
next minute,
to the
death
pavement.
By poop.
Death by poop.
Playing
Goalie
Kit, by the way, this weekend.
You said, we talked about this off the air yesterday, you said you had an instance of something that you just couldn't believe you ended up getting hurt doing.
Yeah, I was rushing to get somewhere with a friend of mine, and she had a lower Acura, and I was trying to get into the car quickly.
Right.
And I didn't really clear the door.
Oh, you get
and
low
I was
enough?
Like throwing my whole body weight into it, hit my head, and I passed out, and then it wound up being a horrible concussion, but it's good that we were headed to Burger King because they had just released Backstreet Boys little figurines. That's what we were trying to get.
Maybe leave that part of the story out.
I mean, what a loser. What a complete loser. Concussion because of the Backstreet Boys.
I have hit my head so many times in my life, it's a miracle that I can even put together a cohesive...
See what you did? See?
Sentence.
Yeah, see?
Coming down the stairs. I hit my head on the Tuesday, coming off the airplane, when I came back from the thing.
You're like 12 feet old. 12
smashed,
feet tall.
What? Smashed my head. I mean, and I was, you know, I was walking off the plane like you do, and just, I've deplaned a million times. I don't know why this time I just hit myself.
You hit your head every day.
Maybe I do.
Once a day.
Maybe I do.
Come on, Kevin, you've got to have at least 40
stories. Yeah, I've got 100 of them, yeah. We don't have time for that. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You can text 2KROCK 25767. We'll take your calls next.
1 minute you're fine. The next minute you can't believe how effed up you are because you got hurt doing something you never would have expected to get hurt doing. You know, I just saw this in the news yesterday, Kevin, is Dusty Hill, the bass player for ZZ Top.
Uh-huh.
How many concerts has ZZ Top played over the last 45
years? 7 million.
Thousands. Thousands of concerts. He's walking to the stage to take the stage at a concert a couple of nights ago and trips on his way to the stage and breaks his shoulder.
Sweet.
You don't anticipate that. You think you're fine. You're backstage. Just sure. going out to play a show. So that's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. What tiny thing were you doing that led to you being injured? The smallest thing, the better. The worst injury, the better. That's what we're looking for here on KROCK. Where do you want to start? Who do you like here?
Start with Robert in Long Beach. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. The worst way you hurt yourself?
So
or most embarrassing?
I was really being very physical. I was actually sleeping.
Sleeping. Okay.
Sleeping. So go to bed. I lay on my side because I just got tattooed. Didn't want to get my tattoo on the sheets. Wake up in the morning. My right knee hurts. I step out of bed to go to the bathroom, and I land on the floor. I ruptured my MCL.
Just getting out of bed?
Getting out of bed. Yeah. I guess when I was laying on the side, my knee was like in a weird position the entire night. So it was just.
Oh, I see. So it was weak by the time you put weight on it. It was weak and just gave away.
That's true. Yep, and then just said goodbye.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. And what's how long is the recovery on something like that?
Usually it takes about 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah, that's surgery and then 4 to 6 months, I think, yeah.
How right. about that? Yep. Well, that'll teach you to sleep.
Right.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joshua in Whittier. He's up next. He's on line 6 on the Kevin Beach Show.
Hey, Joshua.
Hey, what's going on?
Talking about stupid ways you hurt yourself.
Well, I was at the beach having a nice picnic with some friends, and a really, really dumb bird decides to go over and grab my food, and I decide I was going to chase him a bit. Well, it's middle of the day, and I don't think this fire pit is lit. And the ashes underneath were still smoldering. I end up getting my feet in the smoldering ash and get second-degree burns on both of my feet while I'm at the beach.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Did you look back at the bird was just eating your food slowly?
No, I looked back at the bird. He's fighting with some other birds over it, and I just gave up at that point.
Yeah.
It was done.
How much would you guys pay if there were video of that whole 10 seconds right there? Would be great to see.
I would pay all.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call. Hey, let's go to Brandy. She's in Long Beach. She's on line 9. Speaking of the guy who tore his ACL while he was sleeping, Brandy, you were sleeping and got hurt too?
Hi.
Hi there.
Can you guys hear us okay? It's Lightning.
Oh, hey, and, Light. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm on the way taking my wife to the doctor's right now because of something that happened back in December. And, back on December 14th, she wakes up and she can't move her arm and her neck hurts.
Oh, no.
And she goes to the chiropractor, and it's really weird, and he adjusts her. And now, leaving the chiropractor, she gets stuck in the car, and the paramedics have to get her out because now she can't move at all.
What?
So apparently in her sleep, she had ruptured 2 discs and just herniated a few discs and now has, and about 2 weeks ago, had those 2 discs, her spine fused, and now has titanium plates in her neck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Y'all have to get better at sleeping.
No kidding. Or were you wrecking her?
Oh,
I'm
Kevin,
saying.
It's Lightning and Brandy.
It's activity, though. I'm saying at least there's something going on.
That does seem more likely than just sleeping. I think so. I think Lightning was wrecking her. All right. Well, I hope she feels better. Thank you for the call.
I can take credit for that, yeah.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you. This one is a text from the 909. Hi, Kevin. My name is Craig. I was cooking bacon. Apparently, some grease splattered on the floor. I slipped and wound up doing the splits, still holding the frying pan full of bacon. My groin muscle tore.
Oh.
Picture that, doing the splits, and you tear a muscle in your groin.
Did you save the bacon?
Yes,
you
needed surgery.
The bacon! Yay!
But I saved the bacon.
Yay!
And that's what's really important, I think. All right. Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I love Sabrina in Los Angeles so much on line 3. Sabrina is all of us. Welcome to the show, my dear. What happened?
Hey, Sabrina.
I was way too excited for my toasted frosted Pop-Tarts.
By the way, it's not possible to be way too excited about that, but continue.
Grabbed it the second it came up out of the toaster. The frosting was hot like napalm. My skin. And like an idiot, I go shaking my hand, getting frosting all up my arm, ended up with third-degree burns, had to wait for the skin to fall off.
So oh, man. Did you save the Pop-Tart?
You know, I did eat the Pop-Tart, and it was delicious.
Right?
USA!
Come on.
USA! USA!
This is what we learn about our listeners. They don't give up.
No.
Thank you for the call, Sabrina. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Wow, we have so many people on hold. Where do you want to go from here? Let's do Amanda, because a lot of people get hurt on the stairs. Amanda, hi.
Hey, yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi there. You got hurt?
Yeah,
how?
So back in high school, I was just literally going in from my garage to my back door. There's like 2 steps. One's not even really considered a step, but I just tried to hop over it real quick to get on top. And
yep.
Sure enough, I didn't make it, and I completely fractured my right ankle.
Oh.
It is unbelievable how many people break things just walking. Just walking.
Yeah, and I was out of school for a month. It took like 3 or 4 months to heal. But, yeah, I just completely missed a step and fractured my ankle.
Yep. And you know what? You could make that same walk 1,000 times in a row and not get hurt. There's just something about
it.
It's just a fluke.
I've done it 1,000 times after, and every time I'm always like, is this going to be the time that I'm going to fracture my left ankle, or what's going to happen?
Thank you, Amanda. Let's do one more. Let's make it Matt. He's in La Habra. He's up next on line 6.
All right. Hey, Matt. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
What'd you do?
So, I have a... like that thing with flies. Ever since I was a kid, like I'd get all excited about killing flies. So a few months ago, no, it was probably last year, I had a fly that made its way into my office.
Maybe it was when I was 3.
Maybe it was. You know, like it might not have been a fly. It could have been a bee. I'm not sure, Kevin. A bee.
So it was a fly for sure. So okay. Like I went all covert operation. Like I closed my office door. I closed my windows, and like I grabbed a file folder because that was like the heaviest thing that I had in my office. And, like, I went to, like, wind up, like, super big wind up to try and kill this thing, right? So I went and wound up with my elbow, and I ended up smacking it hard into one of the filing cabinets in my office.
Oh, funny
so
bone?
That wasn't the big deal. Like, so that night, I went out with some friends, and we decided to get drunk and play tennis at her apartment complex. So the next morning, my elbow, like, was, it looked like it had a cantaloupe on it. It was so swollen and disgusting.
Mm, that's not
and
good.
I'm like, what the F is going on? So I ended up having to go to urgent care, and it ended up that I contracted staph infection from trying to kill that fly.
Oh, that could be what? So serious.
When I smacked my elbow into my file cabinet, I ended up, like, rupturing capillaries or some nonsense like that. And
did
I ended
you get
up
the fly?
So fly one, Matt zero.
Dude, you have no idea. I was down for like 3 weeks with that staph infection. It was crazy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It happened.
Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. And then our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us for his regular Thursday visit. But I understand today will be nothing like ordinary because
right.
Dr. Drew has a major announcement for us.
Yes. Turn
He's got
your
big
head
news.
And cough. Turn your head and cough.
That's what he's saying.
I'm not sure
that's it.
He's coming in to give
it.
Us all hernia
not.
Exams.
Mm.
So drop them.
Rather that didn't happen.
He's got his hands in ice water as we speak. So get ready for good times.
He says
I'm
he
asking for the prostate, too. I'm shooting for that.
Why not?
Good luck with that.
I brought
he's
in
here.
A hefty bag and some coconut oil. So I'm hoping for a thorough exam.
Okay.
I'm looking to check my liver while he's up there.
Okay.
Maybe a lung or two. I want to be sure. I want to be certain.
Of course.
You got to palpate. You have to palpate.
I don't know what that word means, but it sounds good and right.
It's a doctory word for feel.
Got it.
What's the hefty bag for?
For his arm.
It's science.
Science, Sally. Come on. You go to med school like I did.
Okay. This is making
stuff.
Me extremely horny. I don't yeah. think it is.
You know what's making me that way? Keanu. Right?
Keanu the movie.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Shaw.
Yes,
as
please.
As if, in the words of Wayne.
Yes, please.
I cannot wait for this film. It's in theaters everywhere on April the 29th. However, we here at K-Rock are having a very special advanced K-Rock screening of Keanu on April the 27th at the AMC Century City Theater. If you'd like to go, why don't you call me now? 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that magical phone number. We'll get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening of Keanu.
How about that whole deal?
Stars Keenan Michael Key, of course. Keenan Michael Key, Jordan Peele, Will Forte, Nia Long. And, you know, we mocked all week about another special guest would be in a film named Keanu, right? Don't you think so, special guest?
Ah, yes. I would love to be in this
Keanu
film.
Keanu Reeves.
Because it has my name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my name's Keanu.
Right, but the cat's name is Keanu.
Ah, or is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the film is also called Keanu.
Right, about a
so
cat named...
it's about me.
It's about a cat named Keanu.
Ah, excellent.
Okay. So you're not in it at all, I don't think.
Or am I?
Well, I don't think you are.
Or am I?
I'm going to go with no.
You should check IMDb.
Are you?
Or am I?
That's what I'm asking.
Excellent. Yes.
Thank you so much for dropping by.
It's very confusing. Apparently, he is on IMDb
what?
As being in the film. So
nonsense.
He was right, and we were wrong.
Hmm. All right.
He's still a very confusing man, though. Look at that. So much time about poop and about catching flies and stuff. We're out of time for showbiz, but thanks for stopping by and enjoy those tickets. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robbie Amell is 28 years old today. James McAvoy celebrates his 37th birthday. Rob Riggle. Boy, is he a funny man and a good guy and a patriot and a warrior.
Wow.
He's a freaking Marine. You're not a Marine.
I'm not, no.
Just checking. I just want to make sure you look a little bit like a Marine.
I know. I strike people as a Marine, but I'm not.
Can you imagine if Kevin was Marine? He'd get to every war late. It was like the war would be over,
how
and Kevin would come
pull,
screeching up in his tank, like it was traffic in Germany, and I left 5 minutes early for the war, but the traffic in Germany goes down to one tank lane, and so I'm here for now the fighting. I'm like, thanks so much. We already beat all the Nazis. Thanks so much for stopping by, though. We appreciate it.
I don't know.
It's not my fault. Mother Earth wants me not to fight in war.
Kevin said all of these things this morning when he showed up late for the 40th day in a row.
Yeah, said Mother Earth was keeping him from getting to work.
Yeah. One thing I know about the military is they're pretty loosey-goosey with timetables.
Whatever's
good for you.
Yeah. Get out of bed when you wake up.
Right.
Get to the mess hall, eat when you want.
Whatever. It's just a suggestion.
It's a life for
it's
me.
Not a,
that's
it's
what
not
you're
a
saying.
Team effort.
Kevin in the military.
How dare you?
How much money
like
would
it.
You pay?
I like it very much.
Watch Kevin go through boot.
Kevin is it,
just
Kevin
basic training.
Authority.
He doesn't have to stay in the military after
How
basic training.
Dare you?
I just want to watch basic training.
I just want to watch him go through military time, 1709ing everything. I mean, Kevin.
Is there any part of it I could do?
There isn't, is there?
You got the haircut.
Dishonorable discharge.
Haircut. You have the haircut for it.
You could do that.
I can get that.
I don't think they have the khaki shorts. Mm. I don't think they have a short uniform.
They don't?
Oh, right.
I don't think they have like dress blues with shorts.
Well, I'm not. That's not for me. Either.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I feel like on China Beach
that's
they
the only
though.
Thing that's not for me.
There's no level of the military that would be right for you.
Right, correct.
None. That's zero
true.
Level.
Nah, that's true.
You'd go into the mess hall and they'd be serving like Salisbury steak and mashed potatoes and you'd be like, no children's menu? Where's the soldier junior menu? Where's the little general menu? Because I have crayons I can color in the flags of the United States. Robert Smith's 57 years old today. Tony Danza, 65. And Iggy Pop, the legend, 69 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Once a week, we are proud to be joined by our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, the co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock. We always have topics in the news that we want to discuss them about. And today, Dr. Drew is making news. He's bringing the topic to us of something that's going on that I think will be of great significance to many of our listeners. Hey, Doctor. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
To have me. I've never heard those words before.
Well, he's never
of course
said
we are.
Yeah,
look, the fact that we know you, we think makes us cooler. So we're always happy to have you on the show.
Very kind. But today, it's a very topsy-turvy day for me. I think people aware of that China thing. It's just a very sad chapter ending there. And speaking of chapters ending, I'm going to speak some words I've not spoken publicly anywhere, okay. Which is that we're going to wind down Loveline next Thursday. After nearly 30-plus years, we are going to finally call it a day.
Oh,
that's wow. Awesome.
So it's been a great privilege to have been a you know part of this. I'll keep doing Kevin and Bean. I'll stay with you guys. But after many, many years, we thought it was about time to sort of, you know, drop the mic and tap out.
How many years did you say? 35?
30 plus. I don't like to think about how many years it's been working.
All right.
But it's been since the early 80s. We've been on Loveline, and it's been such a privilege and such a fascinating journey. It's so wonderful to have heard all these stories and to just try to help people night after night. And it's never been other than fascinating. I always figured there must be something wrong with me that I always look forward to coming in every night and hearing and trying to be of service. But I think it's time now. And so next Thursday, we decide it's going to be that day.
Okay. Now, Dr. Drew, I have many questions, and I don't know how much you're willing or able to say about this, but does this have anything to do with recently losing your co-host, Mike Catherwood? Did that push you in the direction of saying goodbye?
I guess it started the wheels in motion in a way. Producer Ann, who's been with us for 20 years and done this amazing job on the show and is as devastated as all of us are, is pointing at Mike and saying, he did it. But the reality is there's not really been a business model for the show for a couple of years. The honest truth is I've been doing it for free for a couple of years. And it was really just my idea of sort of it returned to its roots. I originally did it for free as a community service show, and I last couple of years I've been doing it just thinking, well, it's a community service. I'd miss it. And it's just getting to the point where I have to spend more time with my family, and it's just the way it is.
Well, you'll pick up three other jobs to fill in.
Oh, I'm sure.
To be ridiculous.
Yeah. It's just there's no there, and it's just I really looked at it carefully when Mike left, and I thought, you know, this is getting silly. And I love it, and I love being a part of it, but at a certain point, let's just say I'm not getting younger and not sleeping every night is beginning to get to me. Maybe that's where the prostate cancer came from. I don't know.
Mm.
Dr. So Loveline gave you cancer. That's what you're saying.
Wow, that's bold.
Kevin, I knew I could count on you. I knew it.
I don't want to go too far into the weeds on this because I think the mechanics behind broadcasting are boring to most people.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised to hear you say that there hasn't been a business model for Loveline because I would think that a show that's on the air in multiple markets, aren't you on in a lot of cities across America,
yeah,
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, but syndicated radio, especially at night, really is just not a thing anymore.
And, it's just not. It's yeah. It's just. It's like trying to make a living. I mean, look, Adam Carolla kind of had a come to Jesus conversation with his listeners on his podcast the other day that he wonders if his podcast model is going to survive based on how it's going.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, so my plan is to go over to Carolla and do more podcasting.
Okay.
Thank you for that. not of confidence, but actually, Adam will be the host on the final night. And he and I will be expanding the Adam and Drew podcast. And so if you have questions and want to talk, do Loveline-esque material, I hope you'll join us over there. And we tweet when it is that we're coming out with all that, you know, when we're on the air, when we're taking calls. And so watch my Twitter feed. And it'll be Adam and I just like the old days, except it'll be a podcast instead of a radio show.
How about that? How many years were you and Adam on Loveline together?
I think 11.
11 really? Years together. Yeah. Wow. Does K-Rock know about this, or is Mr.
Yeah,
Weatherby
no,
hearing
no.
this driving in today?
No, they know. Kevin Weatherby would be very upset if I hadn't consulted with him about this.
Okay.
That would not go so well.
This is going to be...
We just sort of picked a date, and we said, you know, that's kind of time, and it's time. We just got to... It's really... It's hard. It's really, really hard. It's
well,
hard.
Here's the thing I'll say about Dr. Drew, and I mean this sincerely, is that I would have said, if someone asked me, would Dr. Drew do the show for free, I would have said yes anyway, because he has always been so deeply committed to having medical advice be available to especially young people who sometimes don't have a resource and don't know who to ask or how to ask. And that's the one thing that has been the driving force throughout all the decades that you've been doing this show, is you legitimately have been trying to help people. And I know that has to pain you to know that you're not going to be available for those people to call you in the way that they have been used to calling
you. Unless you want to give out your phone number.
It means do not give it to Kevin, whatever it is. I feel something coming there. But,
I'm just saying.
But let me put a finer point on that and say that my interest has been in changing the culture. I always thought our culture was so sick, and I've been fighting an uphill battle. I will still be doing it in other platforms. I'm still going to be fighting the fight. It's just this particular – and by the way, Loveline may come back in other forms. I'm not closing the door to the possibility that we'd ever do Loveline again. I mean, maybe it'll back on K-Rock again. I don't know. But we're just – this incarnation for right now, we're just going to call this chapter a close.
Okay. So Eddie Ift is going to be co-hosting with you some next week, and then Carolla will be in for the final episode on the Thursday, right?
That is the plan.
Okay.
That is the plan. It's very sad. Very hard for me to say this. The words are not coming easily.
It is sad. You did something for over 30 years. That's amazing.
And you really did. Speaking of changing the culture, you made it okay to talk about addiction. You made people feel comfortable to come out with things that they never would have said before, maybe admit things that had happened in their past that they never spoke to before.
Well,
it's just,
you.
You've done a lot.
And I would argue that they do have lots of places to go now. They do.
Yeah.
Back then, back when we started this, there really was nothing but radio. There was kids with their little handheld radio under their blankets at night with really no one addressing. It was actually AIDS that really motivated me to get out there, HIV and AIDS, because no one was talking to young people about it. I couldn't believe it. I just thought, someone's going to just explain this, because no one is discussing it. And now we have the internet, we have lots of resources, we have lots of people talking about it, so I'm not concerned in the same way. I'm still concerned that, to mention China again, who I suspect probably
right.
died of addiction. I don't know, I haven't really contact with her in 10 years, but that's the leading cause of death for young people. That's it.
Right.
The pill thing is out of control, and so we still have lots of work to do.
All right. Well, keep fighting the good fight. We appreciate you sharing this news. I know it's going to be sad for a lot of our listeners as well, who have spent their entire lives listening to Loveline on K-Rock. But DrDrew.com, by the way, is where you can find everything that's going on. And, of course, the HLN show every afternoon, Monday through Thursday at 4. And you're on with Mike Cathwood from noon to 3 on 790 KEBC as well. Thanks for the news, Dr. Drew. We'll see you soon.
Bean, you still there?
Yeah.
We're here. Yeah, one quick thing. Because I've got to tip my hat to Kevin Weatherby and Trip Reeve for being supportive for all the years, for Ann Wilkins for producing it, Anderson Cowan, who was our engineer, and and also the people that have hosted over the years. My wife is yelling. Oh, Emily Morris has, of course, been supporting us lately. But Adam, let's just go down the list. You know, it's Mike, Adam, Poor Man, Ricky. Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting group of people. And they all deserve a nod for what was a great project, an important thing.
Well, you're saying a lot of nice things now for a man who's basically a quitter.
Thank you.
And all of the callers as well, with their bent penises or whatever they're called throughout the years.
To be fair, the K-Rock community, really.
That's what I mean.
It's been a privilege. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
All right, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
Ralph Garman steps in. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. By the way, Ralph, remember the guy, the listener, what was his name? I want to say it was Lou, maybe, who sent in the awesome song about What's a Doorstop? Remember him?
Yeah. Lou Thomas.
Lou Thomas, right. Great listener. He was poking fun at Kevin, who did ask the question on here, What's the Doorstop? So he sent in this song.
It's beautiful. It's very well done.
You can talk up the post?
Yeah.
What's a doorstop? Why do you call it stoppy? Do you call your wife spousy and your mirror other beam? What's its function? Does it keep the door closed or open? Are there clues hiding in its name? This guy's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Now the show is going down in flames because I'm so lame.
Very nice of him, right?
That was very nice.
So from Kevin's perspective of confusion.
By the way, does he call his wife spousey? No, but Bean does call his wife wifey. Just for
true,
the record.
He does.
Just for the record.
And he does call himself Other Bean when he looks in the mirror.
So then this guy, the same guy, sent in another thing for you, Ralph.
Yes,
and this
back,
is a tribute to you.
Oh, thank you.
Now explain to people your role in this pilot that you just shot.
The Kicker is the name of the pilot. It's being produced for CBS from the good folks that did 30 Rock, Tina Fey, Robert Carlock, created by Jack Burdett, who's a brilliantly funny comedian and writer. And it's a sitcom about a football player who loses his job and how he handles that in the story of him and his wife and his kids and his friends and his brother who's his agent and how they all adapt.
And what is your role? What do you end up doing?
My role in it, a small role in the pilot, I played a radio talk show host named Rage.
Rage.
Yes.
And why do you suppose they thought of you, Ralph, for that role when they were casting, do you think?
Because they know I'm an actor and a funny, funny person.
Sure.
And they said, well, this will add some humor to the show if we add this particular
gentleman. Well, Lou sent in a trailer.
A trailer?
A trailer of you and this new show.
Great.
And here it is.
Ralph Garman, with his jet black hair, black leather jacket, and that voice made for radio, is about to bring you
Rage.
Rage. With jet black hair, a black leather jacket, and a voice made for radio.
Rage.
Critics are raving. It's a complete 360 from the Ralph Garman we know.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith says Ralph Garman is literally the only Ralph Garman who could play this character.
Rage.
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 Right?
Yes.
I think you summed it up. I think you summed up your role.
That's for the spinoff.
It's a complete 360, all right.
There's a spinoff already. Who knew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, CBS recognizes quality when they see it.
Sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Lou, for thinking of us. We enjoyed that very much. All right. Time for our last look at the showbiz. Here's Rob.
Yeah, we
Rage, I'm sorry.
We explored the pilot and my role extensively on the most recent Hollywood Babylon. We want to take a listen to that. And Kevin did seem to think that there was some similarities between me and my character.
Oh, no. We were just... What?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they did say to me, what do you wear when you're on the radio? And I said, pretty much this black leather jacket and a T-shirt. And they said, great, that'll be your costume then. Just go.
And you yell a lot?
Just go and wear that.
I do.
Yeah. That gives you an idea of the depth, I think, of effort and attention and care that most of the people connected to the project put into my role. They're like, what do you wear? What are you wearing that? Just wear that.
Fine.
Can I get some makeup? Why do you need that? Get Radio Boy some makeup. Apparently, he thinks he needs some. Can I get a light? Can I get a light on in this scene? Yeah. Oh, fine. Now you want lights? We got David Spade over here. He needs real help.
Did they even give you a script, or were you just allowed to just yell at whatever annoyed you at the time?
No, no. It was well scripted by a very talented man named Jack Burdett who wrote it. So, and then Tina Fey punched up my stuff a little bit.
All right,
it was kind of cool. So. I was in the hands of very good writers.
And the next year, Rage.
It's a very funny show, and I sure hope it gets picked up by CBS. Do the right thing, CBS. Increase the value for the shareholders by...
That's what it's all about.
...by buying and producing The Kicker.
Right.
Very funny group of people.
This is making me extremely horny.
Well,
same.
You're going to have to wait till after the show, Allie. You know Eddie Vedder. You're familiar with Eddie Vedder, the name Eddie Vedder?
No, who's that? Sure. Is that someone that I should know?
Eddie Vedder is a musician.
Oh.
Huh. A singer-songwriter. Worked with a band called Pearl.
Pearls Before Swine?
Tip of my tongue. Pearl Bailey?
Pearl Necklace?
Pearl Drum Kit? Pearl.
Maybe?
It was the Pearl Harbor? Was it? It was a Pearl.
I
got nothing.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah, Pearl Jam,
oh,
that's it.
Kevin
came up with it. Rarely does Kevin come up with it.
Here's the thing you may not know about Eddie Vedder. Huge, like Ralph Garman-esque level fan of the Batman TV series.
Is that right?
Huge.
There's
fan.
Another one that's as big as you?
Another one. Eddie's a huge Batman fan. In fact, he, amongst the many picks he uses during his live shows, he's got a whole series of picks that have art featured on them saluting the Batman TV series.
Okay.
He's got, like, the Batman logo with Ed Ved inside of it. He's got the Batmobile front and back on back in front of the picks. Batgirl. I mean, he's got a whole slew of picks that have been designed by a brilliant graphic artist named Tom Tomorrow, who does the work for him.
You should have invited him to your wedding. He would have loved that.
He would have loved my wedding, as I pulled up in the Batmobile.
That's true, by the way.
We showed the wedding video to our little girl Olivia for the first time, 6 years old, on our anniversary this past weekend. And we said, you want to see Mommy and Daddy get married? Yeah, I want to see it. So we sat down and we watched it. And I pulled up to the wedding in the 1966 Batmobile being driven by Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how about that, honey? Isn't that impressive? Dad gets driving up in the Batmobile. And she went, I'm not surprised.
So. And then she said,
no, she didn't. She knows better.
I'm not surprised.
So anyway, the reason I bring up Eddie Vedder's love for the Batman TV series is because he and his adorable little daughter, his 7-year-old daughter Harper, have released a cover of the classic Batman TV series theme song.
Singing together.
It's Eddie and his daughter and their cover of the Batman TV series. It's available online right now. You can check it out. EW, Entertainment Weekly's got the story. But I just thought it was adorable, a father and his daughter singing together the greatest TV theme song of all time. Here's a little taste. Come on.
How about that?
Eddie and Harper.
Not a challenging number to sing.
What? You're missing the point.
No,
I'm saying it's adorable.
He's not missing the point. He was never even in the neighborhood of the point. He could never catch it.
It's adorable. I guess I just never realized that's a pretty easy song to sing.
Boo!
Not a lot going on, but I thought it was cute. I like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention and listen to Bean Baxter's rendition of the Batman theme song, a song that he claims is very easy to sing.
Well, I'm not.
The easy song in the song stylings of a man singing a very easy song, Bean Baxter.
I'm sorry, that was the pug version of Batman. I apologize.
I got the reverb on for you, man. Let's go.
I'm not a singer.
Do it.
I can't sing any song.
It's easy.
It's easy.
Batman. That's all there is to it. There's just not that. That's echo. Echo.
Too late. Okay. Here's what I think is cute. Eddie Vedder is the singer, and he lets his daughter be heard on the whole thing.
Yes.
That's a good dude right there.
And he's a good dad.
But it's an easy song, so whatever.
It is a pretty easy song.
Says Bean.
It's not taxing.
Right, but I think you missed the point.
Okay. Sad news for wrestling fans. The most famous, perhaps, female wrestler of all time, Chyna, has passed away at the age of 46. Cops received a 911 call from a friend who was concerned, hadn't been able to reach her by phone for several days, and showed up at her Redondo Beach apartment and found Chyna there. If you hear the 911 operator, when she was talking to it, tells her that Joni Lahr was her given name, not breathing, and Redondo police showed up, and she was indeed dead on the scene. So, sad news, at the age of 46, she's passed away. No word, official word yet, on what caused her passing, but I know she did have some issues with substance abuse, so perhaps that played into it. We'll have to wait and see. And on a more upbeat note, Curt Schilling's been fired from ESPN, which I think is...
He's such a good dude.
About effing time. How did it take them this long?
I don't know.
He's a horrible
He's
human
a
being.
He's a horrible human being.
And the last time I heard about him in the news was when he was being suspended for several months for the last boneheaded thing he said.
During the MLB playoffs, he did tweet a comparison between Muslims and Nazis.
That was it.
He put those two together. And then earlier this week, he posted an anti-transgender meme on his Facebook page and then defended it after being called out on social media. So,
He made it impossible for ESPN.
He's been
to keep them
desperate to get fired.
He just has been begging for it.
And he probably ESPN, goes over and goes, what do I have to do?
What's a guy going to do to get cut loose? Really?
Well, at least he can be a martyr now. Because everyone that's on the side of, oh, PC bros, how dare he? And it's all the people that are like, what about his First Amendment rights?
He's allowed to express himself.
Sure, people don't understand that. The First Amendment
is about the government squashing your ability to speak freely. He can put anything he wants on Facebook. Yeah. However, ESPN is a company, and as they said in their statement, they're an inclusive company, and his conduct is unacceptable, and his employment with ESPN has been terminated. There are repercussions to the right of free speech. It's a gift that all Americans share, and you should exercise it at your will, but also recognize that sometimes it comes at a cost. And sometimes that cost is shut your mouth and go away.
Other people's right to express themselves
right.
about what
and
you're
ESPN's
saying.
ESPN's right is shut up and go away now. And so that's good.
Hallie, we've talked many times about Bill Cosby and others in the past about having to separate them professionally from personally. So how do you, as a Red Sox fan, process
Kurt Schilling? I thank him for what he did with his bloody sock.
In air quotes.
I mean, if that was really what happened. I thank him for his time in a service, but right after that, when he bankrupted all those people in Rhode Island that had given a ton of money to his company, he just became a piece of work that, I mean, nobody in Boston even likes him. Wow. And he won them their first.
People in Boston like all bad people, so that's weird.
It's
right?
It's pretty true. It's pretty true. Yeah. He's just, ugh. Right. Ugh. But let's also not be like, oh, ESPN, you're so great. You're all inclusive. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you've murderers on your air, ESPN. So
ESPN murdered somebody?
Is this a Ray Rice complaint?
I just heard a woman say that.
Listen, what company, how much more inclusive could a company be if they actually hire murderers? They're a completely inclusive company. Gays, transgenders, lesbians, bisexuals, murders, all people are welcome to work at ESPN. Except bigots, apparently. There's no room for them. Today's celebrity birthdays, Iggy Pop, 69 years old today. Tony Danza is 65. Robert Smith of The Cure celebrates his 57th birthday. Rob Riggle, he's 46. James McAvoy, Professor X, soon to be seen in Apocalypse, 37 years old. Robbie Amell, while we're talking about superheroes, the original Firestorm. He's 28 years old.
You guys.
What just happened?
TMZ, breaking news. Prince has died.
Wow.
No. We heard somebody at his house
at
had
Paisley
passed
Park
away.
Had passed away. Oh my God.
Prince.
Wow.
That's rough.
Oh,
wow.
Well, he did have some health issues. Remember they had to have an emergency landing on his plane when he was traveling during his tour.
That's right. This was just a few days ago, but then he was seen on a bicycle and then he showed up on stage the next night. I mean, he looked like he had recovered well, but who knows how serious that was. What happened to him?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, you know, I always think of Michael Jackson and Prince, you know, hand in hand, just because of their coming up at about the same time in the 80s with those popular records and stuff. It's hard to believe they would both be gone so young.
There you have it.
Hmm. Well, late way to bum us out, Allie.
Yeah, good stuff.
Sorry.
Great. You end up on an up note. Good stuff right there.
All right, I'll give you the up note.
Okay, good.
Three's Company movie, right? Everyone's on board.
I'm
getting nothing but sweet, sweet love on Twitter and via email.
Is that right?
Three's Company live. First of all, my version.
Sure.
Jack! Well, I played Mr. Furley,
well, you gotta tour the one-man show now, Ralph.
And
you gotta.
Then, of course, the big budget, big screen version of Three's Company, too. So there's that to look forward to. Wow, Prince gone.
How about that? That sucks. All right, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have the movie beat because it's Friday. We will tell you more about the 8-year-old that had a birthday party complete with strippers. We have a Thanks for That Info Bean session tomorrow.
Oh. How dare you?
Yes,
all right, I'll come in tomorrow. I was gonna call out sick, but now I think I'm going to show up.
We have tickets for the LA Galaxy against Real Salt Lake this
weekend.
I'm
out again. I'm going to go home.
And we have tickets for the movie Keanu.
All right, I'm back in again now.
See it early. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.